This is episode number 98 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of October 12th, 2009.
Hi, this is Bog, and you're listening to Interactive Distractions. Is that Street Fighter?
It's time for me to talk.
Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 98.
Hi there.
98.
2 weeks.
Hey, Jeff, you know what?
2 weeks.
I'm going to see your ass in 2 weeks. That's what's going to happen in 2 weeks.
It's crazy.
Two weeks from today.
A good time.
Actually, yeah, two weeks from yesterday.
No, actually, 2 weeks from yesterday is when I am. Hopefully, we're going to get there.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, we are, of course, talking about IndusFest.
IndusFest!
My name is Chris Ferricchio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello, people.
And Jeff Chorney.
And we're the F up.
And we are 2 weeks away from IndusFest.
IndusFest.
We do have two more shows to do before that happens, so we need to get that out of the way. Today we're talking about, we're going to do some distractions, some news. We're going to talk about retailers and if they have any pull on whether we go digital only or not. Then we're going to do new releases, listener email, and a new question a week. But before we do that, hey, Jason.
Yeah. Yo.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I just spent the last hour trying to get my, a studio set up real quick because my laptop kind of died on me. So.
Man, that sounds awesome. Oh, wait,
yes,
no, it doesn't.
That was really, really awesome. So yeah, like 10 minutes before we were set to record, I could not get the laptop up. So I had to quick and, try and set up one of the other computers. So if you guys hear a little fan noise, I'm sorry. Kind of my fault, but
that's all right. We'll get it all cleaned up. It'll be fine.
So yeah, I've been stressed in the past hour, but other than that, very excited for IndusFest, and I don't know. I feel good about it. I think this might be fun.
It might be. It just might be.
Let's try and make it fun.
Think bullshit.
There is no think. Only awesome.
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
Cool. Jeff, how are you, man?
I'm good. I thought I was going to be really grumpy today because of a few reasons.
I don't want to record today. I want to play Demon's Souls.
There's a game I want to play, and then I had a terrible day where today, one of my coworkers is off for today, and not today, she's been off this whole week, and she's not coming back till Tuesday, and I've just been covering for her ass, and it's been so damn busy for me, and everyone's not busy, and they're all up and chatting to each other and making jokes and stuff, and I'm sitting there motherfuckers, can someone help me out here? I'm getting my ass kicked.
Don't you hate that?
And I was in such a bad mood. And then
it's like when you're all set to record a podcast and you're all geared up for it, and then someone's I don't really want to record tonight.
That never happened. Pixar didn't happen. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Mm.
But then I was you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna pick up some podcasting juice tonight. Originally wasn't going to. And then,
podcasting.
I gotta tell this story. Yeah, podcasting juice. So, you have to be 19 or older in the Ontario area to buy podcasting juice. 21 in the US of A, I believe. It's good stuff. But,
so I hear.
Yes. So I gotta tell this story because I thought this was actually pretty funny. And I don't know. I laughed on the inside quite a bit. But I went to the grocery store to pick up some stuff before coming home to record. And, Tanya asked me, she's like, oh, can you buy me some iced tea? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I went and got a carton of Nestea iced tea for her. So I'm in line, this guy who's ringing everyone in, he's he's a kind of older dude, whatever. Well, probably a little bit older than me, maybe. But anyway, he's ringing everything, but he's going so slow. So I'm just sitting there okay, listen to my iPod, listen to some podcasts. I'm all right, no big deal. So it gets to me, so I put all my stuff on the little conveyor belt thing, and then not paying attention, I just see out of the corner of my eye, he's pointing at the iced tea thing. So I look at up at him, and he's saying something to me, but I can't really hear because I got my earbuds in. So I take him out, I'm sorry, excuse me, what? And he looks at me and he goes, oh, do they sell that here? And then, this is what I wanted to say to the guy. I wanted to be no, actually, I stopped off at a grocery store down the street, bought it there, brought it here, in here, and just put it on here just to fuck with you.
Right.
And then,
I just brought it in here to show you, this is what you could be selling.
Exactly. Or I just want to bring it here and hopefully you charge me again for it because I paid for it earlier.
Exactly.
And then that's what I wanted to say to the dude, but I just looked at the guy and I was just yes,
Yeah.
And it's
you should
like,
sell this just to pick it up and walk out. That'd be awesome.
Exactly. It's, that moment is like, that's when I think it should be legal to slap somebody. It wasn't like, he looked at me seriously like, oh, we sell this? And I was like, seriously? Come on.
No, I found this shit in the bathroom, man.
Oh, and by the way, the same dude, the girl in front of me was buying a mango, which clearly was a mango. It was like green and red or whatever. And she put that down. He's like, he looks at it and goes, this is a grapefruit, right? And then she's like, no,
what?
It's a mango.
How do you mix like, up a grapefruit like and a mango?
No, dude, he was not fucking with anyone. He was just, yeah.
An idiot.
Yeah. Oh, it was pretty funny. I'm just like, wow, that just made my day. I'm like, that is hilarious. But anyway, that's exciting. That's happened to me in the last week, I guess.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Not much to report. Same as last week. I'm still trying to get everything fixed up. The reason it's so complicated is because my kitchen has been destroyed by my dogs. So we've actually been doing a lot of work in the kitchen trying to get things cleaned up. So that should hopefully be done by the end by this weekend, and maybe I'll actually get to do stuff on weekends again. That'd be nice.
Wow, that would be cool.
Yeah. Instead of like kitchen podcast. That's all I was
kitchen
doing.
Podcast.
Yeah, it's like do the kitchen and
soon
edit
you're
going
to be able to do a podcast about kitchens.
Great. That sounds like fun. No, it sure doesn't. So that's it. Not much more to report. So I have been playing some games though, so we should get to that. Jason.
Yes, we should.
Yes.
You start.
Jason.
What's distracting?
Do I have to go first? Because I don't really remember. Like, I
all right, well,
hit the
we'll switch
running.
It up then. Jeff, you can go first.
Well, I'm trying to think of what I saw Jason playing online the last couple of days. I saw him playing Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
No, Jason doesn't play Street Fighter 4.
No. I saw him playing
I actually played that at Battle and Brew last night.
Oh, were you?
Fuck it, I'll just take my turn. So yeah, Battle and Brew last night. I was there with some friends and also, spoiler alert.
No.
some friends and spoiler.
Oh, the hate mail is being written right now.
No, we played a little Street Fighter 4 online, too. So we actually got to play against Kill 9 while at Battle and Brew. So
oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So
you had some warm-up matches?
What's that?
You had some warm-up matches?
Damn, man.
I think Kill 9 actually rage
right,
quit
so
us.
Wait, is that a record? Did we just get like two of our regular listeners hit the unsubscribe button within 30 seconds? Did that just happen? I think that just happened.
And unsubscribe.
You know, I think Kill 9 rage quit or something like that. Because, yeah, it was Spoiler's turn and Spoiler picked a Fuerte. And, yeah, all of a sudden...
It's because of Forte. He's like, fuck Jason, it's Forte.
He's like, it's
this
fucking
shit.
Jason, fuck this. No. After that, we played probably about like 10-15 minutes of Left 4 Dead and on the 360. And mm-hmm.
Did you
I'm
play
not
the
a big
one? Was it
No. Okay. I've actually played that on the PC.
Because it was free, yeah, it makes sense.
Exactly. But I still can't get used to the dual stick stuff.
Man, a PC elitist. Better with Windows and keyboard.
I'm trying to like it. If I was an elitist, man, I'd be like, fuck
that's
that
true.
Console shit.
Fuck that business.
Word. Let's see what else did I play. You guys remember the story about the Walmart up and coming?
What?
No.
Get cheap games there.
Hmm?
Oh, I told a story a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, I remember that.
All right, so the new game from the Walmart incoming is Golden Axe Beast Rider.
Oh.
Why?
How much?
Did they pay you to buy it?
How much?
No, it, well,
if it's more than $15,
no, I think it was 15.
15? I think I would pick that up for 15 bucks cuz got kind of bad reviews, but I don't know if it's as bad as say, I don't know, what did you buy, Chris? Was it
Conan? Or Project Silphied?
The thing that Beast Rider has a big advantage of over Conan is that the main character's hot.
And you can ride these crazy beasts.
And there are tons of boobs.
I just opened
and there
it up.
Are tons of boobs.
Well, they're actually burnt and charred boobs.
Oh, jeez.
Does that really matter?
Yes.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Depends
all right, so I
hear the game is ass-raping, though. Is it hard?
No, actually, I found the combat quite enjoyable. I will say that, even though I think I still paid too much at $15.
Oh, for
the rest
real?
Of the game is pretty much ass. It looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
I do like the main character and everything. But it's not enough to carry me through. The combat, like I said, is pretty good, right? So it's a little arcadey. You know, you've got your kicks and your punches and your swords and stuff. But it's also got that heavenly sword aspect where, you know, you can either parry or, you know, dodge and thrust and spin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but, okay. Yeah, somersault.
So, yeah, if an enemy's doing one certain kind of attack, they'll glow orange, and you've got to do, like, an evade. If it's blue, then you've got to block. And then as soon as you do that, you get, like, a counterattack. So the combat in of itself is pretty fluid and pretty fun because it's easy to do. Also, the beasts, you know, in the title, they're pretty cool, actually. It's a nice little element to this kind of game.
When I saw the videos, that was the coolest part. I'm like, that actually looks pretty damn cool.
Yep. I get to try out two of them. There's the traditional chicken-looking one that you ride on.
Yeah.
It's got the tail swoosh thing. That's fun to do. The other one is like some like a feline-ish type thing where you can actually pounce and go into like stealth mode with it. It's pretty neat. But other than that, repetitive is shit.
Hmm.
Oh, combat during magic. Well, you get magic spells and stuff too. But if people are like shooting magic at you, like a projectile type thing, you can bounce it right back at them.
That's cool.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Is neat. So, like I said, yeah, the combat I think is worth, you know, at least $10.
Okay. If you play a couple levels or whatever.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all that I played. I don't know if I'll go back to it or not.
I'll be honest with you, I wanted that to be so good.
Yeah, I did.
I think in the right developers, I think it would have been kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's got a lot going for it, but.
I've been keeping an eye out for the $10 version of that game. I'm waiting for it.
Gamefly, yo. I think they've got it for like $12 or $13.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, what else did I play? Played a little bit of Longest Journey.
Nice. Cool. How do you like it?
I really like it.
Yeah?
Really like it. I actually want to burn through it as fast as possible so I can finally get to Dreamfall, which is the follow-up that was on the Xbox.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting. Yeah.
I think it did come on PS2 as well, or no, just Xbox?
I'm not positive. I know that it's like a direct download on Xbox.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Indeedy. What else did I play? Some demos. Played a little bit of that Forza action, Jeff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And? I like that Super the Fucking Jason mode where I don't even have to brake.
You don't even have to gas.
That rules.
What, do you just steer and that's
seriously,
it?
Seriously, yeah. You put it on easy and it does all that shit for you.
Seriously, all you do is hold down the gas and basically steer.
What's the point?
Well, it's just to make it more accessible.
Hey, I came in first, man. It's to make people like me feel better. Like, the first big corner that I went around, yeah, I actually tried to do, you know, like a power slide or whatever, and I ended up like way overcompensating, right? So I crashed into the wall. So they prompted me to like do a rewind. What is it called?
You can rewind the
You can rewind. So it actually backs up to the point where, you know, right before you screwed up, and I'm like, that's even better.
Yep. Oh, and for people, they do penalize you for that. Like if you're going for a track record or something like that, like if you're going for like a highest time and you use that rewind feature, you'll still be put on the leaderboards. But if someone does that same track and gets like it's a similar time or even slightly less worse, they'll actually be ranked higher just because they didn't use the rewind feature. So
that makes
sense. There is a bit of a penalty if you want.
Okay. But yeah, I first noticed that whole easy mode when I started going around a corner and I hadn't braked yet and I saw my brake lights come on. I'm like, wait a second.
What's going on here?
So I just, continued to hold down the throttle and, went around that corner just perfectly.
I'm that's like, no fun. Right.
Nah, dude, the game is gorgeous. I don't know. I think it needs kind of a dirt filter. You know what I'm talking about?
Like
it's
a kind
glossy.
Of grainy, kind of like a...
Something a little more realistic because this is, it's got that high gloss.
I know what you mean. It looks like everything's...
Covered in Vaseline?
Not covered in Vaseline, but kind of like... I don't want to say too sharp because it's not too sharp. Just like too clean, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. But it is still a pretty
it's
pretty game.
Pretty.
All right. So other demos. The Bayonetta demo came out
in
the Japanese store. So
I played that
which
too.
Store? Is that just the Japanese store? Or is that on our store too?
Just Japanese the Japanese store only.
Okay.
But it's kind of okay. The cutscenes and everything are still in English with Japanese subtitles. The menus, on the other hand, all in Japanese.
But it's pretty easy to navigate because the first selection is pretty much what you want every time.
Right.
Just about.
Yeah. And even on top of that, the first thing that you do is you hop into a tutorial, which is pretty cool for this kind of game, where combos are key, right? You've got this, all these different options for combos. They throw you in like this darkened room with just like a spotlight, and it's just like you and an enemy.
Right.
And they actually show you on screen what you should be doing, like, how to block, or not block, but You know, do your kick and, you know, punch and gun and evade and then, you know, different combos.
How to take
as
off
well.
Your clothes and attack them with it.
Exactly.
They didn't show me that. but I did find out how to do that later. All right, so impressions of the demo. I am going to have an awful lot of fucking fun with this game.
Yeah, that's...
I cannot wait. It's so amazing and over the top. Like, even above and beyond what the Devil May Cry series, you know, as far as craziness is concerned.
It's, director or whatever, lead designer is the same dude, right, who created Devil May Cry?
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely a fair comparison. And if we are going to do that, you know, if we're talking about, you know, like combat, I got to say that Devil May Cry, I think, is a little tighter in that respect. You know, it's a little more weighty. You can tell when you hit something, right?
Okay.
Whereas in Bayonetta, it's pretty floaty.
It's not like too human, though, is it?
Kinda,
no,
sort of.
Really? Like, your swords will go, like, right through someone. There's not really, like, a reaction or, like, a...
No, you get reaction.
You get reaction. It's just not as... I don't know. I just don't get that feeling, you know?
I think you feel like it's kind of like an animation just paced on there, and then it's like, oh, when this animation happens, it'll react this way. It doesn't actually feel like when the sword or whatever your weapons are actually hit, kind of thing? Like, collision detection?
A little. Yeah, a little. I mean, because there's a lot of enemies on screen, and there's just like crazy action happening, so it's real tough to you know, keep an eye on what exactly is going on. Because I mean, she's got motions where she'll like spin upside down, and she's got guns on her feet, and she's, you know, doing circles and shooting everybody, and like, what the fuck
How
is going
look?
On?
How does it look?
Not bad. It's still, I think, a step below like Devil May Cry 4.
Yeah. Okay. But I will say that I've heard that the PS3 version is quite a step down from the 360 version.
Right.
Because Platinum Games... Was it Platinum Games? Yeah.
I don't know.
They let, like, Sega themselves port over the PS3 version, and for some reason it just didn't come out real well.
And, is Sonic in there somewhere?
Yeah. funny.
Kind of. There's a nod.
There is a nod to the Sonic series.
And
but,
the first thing that you bust open, you'll find out.
That's right.
Pigtails in the face.
No, let's just say that there's something that you have to collect that is very, very much a nod.
Nah.
Bring.
Yeah.
But. Shit, I totally forgot what I was talking about. Oh, I didn't notice some of the problems that they were talking about. Like, I heard there was screen tearing and aliasing and all this other stuff, but the game kind of seems a little blurry to me. It just might be the way it's made.
Were you wearing your glasses?
No, I wasn't, but that's probably because I don't wear glasses.
Oh.
But I want to see the 360 version first before I say anything about it, because that might just be the way the game is. But it's like being so easily comparable to Devil May Cry. Devil May Cry is much more crisp. Does that make
sense?
There's definitely like a blur sort of to it. It's almost like this like light.
Like it was upscaled or something.
That could be though the demo. Cause I remember listening up or something, and they were talking about that same thing at GamesCon, I think it was, or PAX. It was like the same kind of demo they were playing on both. And that's when they're saying how the PS3 version just did not look up to par. Mm-hmm. But then they were talking about it again a couple weeks later, I guess, when they showed it at TGS, and they're saying it's much more improved now. Like they said, it's not quite up to par, but it's way better than what they saw the first time. So maybe this demo might be a build off, like maybe the PAX demo or something like that.
That could be.
Yeah, I saw a video, like a 1UP video or something, and they were saying like that video in particular was significantly better than what they had seen previous. So it sounds like they are making a bunch of improvements, and I'm hoping that it's going to be identical when they come out. I mean, it's, you know, when 360 is a lead platform, it's always a little bit more difficult for developers to get the PS3 looking up to snuff, but you should be able to get it close. I mean, and Sega has done some good shit on the PS3. It's not like they're not experienced with it. You know, I mean...
Yeah, for sure.
They have some good games.
Sega, they're not actually... They're just publishing the deal, though, aren't they? Publishing the game, though, aren't they?
No, they're doing the port to the PS3 version.
Oh, okay.
So but Platinum did the 360.
But taking over that, though.
Yeah, that said, like, converted by Sega or something like that.
Yeah. Platinum Games created the 360 version, and then Sega is porting that to the PS3. That's how it's working. And then Sega's publishing both.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I can only think of one really good Sega game.
Jason, how far did you get in the demo?
I completed the demo.
You did? Okay, I didn't quite complete it.
And I didn't even put it on like super
the fucking Jason.
No, I just had it on normal, which was still pretty super the fucking Jason mode.
Yeah, it wasn't that hard.
No. You just had to attack for you.
It's.
I died a couple times though.
I died a couple times too. You really have to get used. This is very much like. It's kind of a mixture between Devil May Cry and God of War because of the way that they work the evade. Evade is so important, it seems, that because you can break a combo in the middle of it and evade just like God of War, it seems.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's and the cool thing about the evade is if you do it right, if you do it at the right time, then it goes into like witch time and everything slows down and she can go up and like just knock the hell out of shit, and it's really cool. You know, it's interesting the way it works, but I'm pretty excited.
It's fun.
It is fun as shit.
There's really no other word that's better descriptive.
It is really fun. As soon as we finish doing this, you need to jump on the Japanese store and download the demo and play it because it's.
I might have to do that.
It is really fun. Good stuff.
Can you believe the action is more over the top?
I can. Like you can't, but wow. I mean, after seeing videos, I'm like, yeah, it's a girl. First of all, you put it like a female in the lead role, I can just think of a bunch of ridiculous
things. And she is sultry, man. She is just all about showing it off, shaking it. She's all about shaking it.
Sex in video games, that never sells. I don't know what
they're doing. Never sells anything.
Did you, Chris, see some of like the mid-boss and boss like end finishers or whatever?
I did see the big
where
dragon
you had, like,
head.
Triangle and circle at the same time, and then all of a sudden your hair like you know rips into this like portable hole and comes out another portable hole like this other dimension, and it's this huge like black hair dragon
head.
That is ridiculous.
See, and that's the thing is that it doesn't happen just on bosses. Shit. You can do that kind of shit on regular enemies too. And it's like there's one like on one of the larger enemies that you know you hit triangle and circle at the same time, and she like slams him down and puts him in a guillotine and just chops his fucking head off. I'm like, holy crap!
Yeah, those are the torture attacks or something like that. Yeah. There's another one. Yeah, where you pop him into an Iron Maiden.
Yes, that's awesome.
This is so awesome.
This game is super over the top, and I am so buying it.
I gotta I gotta let it pass. I haven't played it yet, only because of all the other fucking games. And I've already bought two games this month that I wasn't.
Well, this isn't coming out until November, right? November, December.
Oh, same shit. Oh, it's December maybe. It's December maybe. Yeah, November. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Cool. What else you got, man?
I need nothing else.
Bayonetta is all you needed to talk about.
Yeah, I think so.
Are you satisfied
can't really
think
now? Of anything else right now?
You can go to sleep happy. All right, good deal.
Yeah,
Jeff, what you got, man?
What do I got? I got some Tehalo's ODSTD. Played a little bit more of that. Still feel exactly like I did last week when we talked about it.
I'm sorry.
That good, huh? That good.
Yeah, they got to change it up. They have to change it up. Kind of like that's why I'm kind of worried. I'm actually worried for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 now too, because I remember loving 4. So I love 2, like really love 2. Didn't buy 3, bought 4. Friggin' 4 was spectacular. Bought World at War, which plays a lot like 4, but whatever. Didn't finish it. I was like, meh, too much like 4. Now I'm afraid that if Modern Warfare 2 isn't that like big step up, that I might feel the same way, and I'm just like, oh god. Even though it looks awesome, but I'm just hoping it's not, because that's what I'm getting from Halo ODST, and I've played another couple more levels, I'm kind of like, it's still not grabbing me. People are like, just trust me, play like, once you get to like the fourth level you actually play, it gets really good. So I don't know if I missed the good part, or I went to make a sandwich during or something, I don't know what happened, but I haven't got there yet.
Damn,
I mean, I should play some Firefight. I couldn't get a 4-player match going because my internet connection's been really weird this week, and I have to call the provider and be like, what the fuck is going on? Pay this much money a month. What the hell? Why is it running like crap? So I managed to play some 2-player, but that's a lot of fun. That is awesome. So awesome that I would have paid $20 or even $25 just for that. It was just like a DLC thing. Because I think that's where the meat of ODST is, even though that's not what they're saying. But yeah. Anywho, I picked up NBA 2K10 as well.
2K10.
Yeah, I'm not going to bore you guys with it because I only played one full game of it, which I lost at the buzzer. I was up by 2. I was Toronto Raptors playing against, I think it was Minnesota. Up by 2 with 1.3 seconds left. and they drain a 3 for the win.
Nice.
I can't really go into detail about it, and I don't want to bore you guys with minor details, so I played it, and that's about it.
All right. Well, do you like it? I mean...
I do like it. I think it's a pretty big step over 2K9, but then again, I'm very picky with my basketball games, so people probably who have played 2K9 who aren't really big into it might not notice the differences, but I have. There is kind of issues, though. There's a little bit of slowdown in the game.
And really?
There's, yeah, apparently it's been a problem, and a lot of people are complaining about it, so 2K is actually looking into it to see if they can patch it, because... There, yeah, something's going. It doesn't happen all the time. It's usually when your things are jammed up in the key or like on some like replays and stuff like that. But yeah, and apparently the online's really janky right now too. But I haven't tried online.
Okay.
And that's apparently the PS3 version apparently doesn't have as much as the frame rate problems. But in the reviews I read, that's because there's the crowds in the PS3 version aren't even half as like detailed, or there's like people just missing from the crowd. So they're looking, 2K is looking into it for both versions, like seeing what the hell's going on. So hopefully a patch will come out. I haven't seen too much of that, but apparently it's out there.
Personally, I'd rather have a better frame rate than a bigger crowd. That's just me, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I haven't really seen the frame rate issues at all. I saw it like maybe twice during a replay, and that's kind of, in a sports game, that's kind of normal. Not normal, but and if it's during a replay, I don't really care. If it's during gameplay, I would give a shit. But
yeah, yeah.
Played some Ryden 4 again. Beat my high score. Almost beat the leader on my friends list. Not quite. I think I was short by about 800,000, which might seem like a lot, but it's not really that much.
Well, in comparison, what was your score?
He had 6,900,000+, and I had basically like 6,000,000 and like 200,000 or something like that.
All right, that's not bad.
Yeah. So, what else did I play? I played a lot of stuff. No, I didn't really play a lot of stuff actually. That's pretty well a lot of some Forza, some Need for Speed, which I think I'm pretty much done with Need for Speed. I think just not because I don't like it, because I know for the fact that once Forza 3 comes out, I'm
not going to care
to touch it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I might actually just trade it in or sell it or do something like that.
Yeah.
Do it while it's hot, man. Do it while the money's good on it.
Exactly. I did play something else, but I can't remember. But, blah. Oh, well, and I picked up Demon's Souls.
I was going to say, you can't remember. We were talking about it right before the show.
That's, yeah, Need for Speed was one of the games I wasn't going to pick up, and then Demon's Souls was a game I definitely wasn't going to pick up. The hype got to me. Everyone's talking about it. Listen to Mark talk about it on PS Nation. I was like, okay, well, it got me kind of interested, and I started reading reviews. And even in the reviews, I'm like, I hate that, but I still went out and bought it. And
the fuck's up with that? Who would do that?
We haven't talked about this yet.
Okay, the things that I've read in reviews that I hate are things that I'd say 99% of gamers hate. But I'm like, if it was that bad, why is this game getting nines? Like, why is pretty much all across the board saying this is a great game? A lot of them have said this is one of the best games of the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I like medieval stuff. I like the art style is very generic. That's when I first saw pictures of this, I'm like, why are people making a big deal about this? Because
yeah, I felt
this
the
looks
same
like
way.
A very generic. It looks like an Oblivion wannabe third person game, and then everyone's like, no, trust me, it's not. So I caved and I bought it. And what I read in the reviews that everyone's saying, well, first of all, it's very hard, very unforgiving. You got to basically go through levels over and over and over again. When you collect things like souls that are like currency and also your experience, and if you die once, that's cool. You can go back to where your dead body was in soul form and retrieve it. But if you die in that soul form, you lose all those souls you gained at that part, and you can't bank souls
right.
at all. Like you can't put them in like a chest. So that's like all your experience going right down the tank. So you could be playing for like an hour and a half and not die, get to a really hard part, not spend your souls on anything, die, and then come back and then die again, and then those like hour and a half, 2 hours is basically wiped out.
Yep.
And
it's rough, man. It's not very forgiving at all. It's okay. The basic concept is when you die, it leaves a blood stain.
Yep.
And your character can only leave one blood stain. So if you make it back to your blood stain, then you can retrieve the souls that you lost when you died. But if you die before you reach it, then whatever souls you currently have get placed
they're
on that
gone.
Blood soul blood stain, and the other blood stain disappears.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's really unforgiving. But the reason behind it is because it's a
they
learning.
They want to ass rape you.
Yeah, pretty much. but it really is a trial and error and a learning process. Like
it
right
is.
Now, so far, I've never not made it back to my bloodstain when I've died.
Oh, pin a rose in your nose.
But yeah, I mean, it is a very hard game, but normally, under normal circumstances, it's like most of the time if you die, it's because you just got beat. I mean, the combat is very technical. You have to be very patient. And I, in a lot of ways, I compare this game to Monster Hunter in the way that, you know, it's hard, but it's satisfying when you actually complete, you know, whenever you actually go through it. And when I first started it, I didn't think that there were like checkpoints or anything like that. I thought you had to, go through the entire stage or the entire area that you were in on one life and that's it. And if you die, you go all the way back to the start of the area and all the guys respawn start your ass raping now. Right.
Well, that's basically what happens.
Yeah, but it does open up shortcuts along the way, like the
which
Jeff hasn't opened yet.
which I'll tell that story in a second.
Go ahead. We can talk about the shortcuts while you're doing it.
I heard today there were shortcuts. So apparently, where the first shortcut is in World 1-1, which I played for an hour and 25 minutes, and I'm still on level 1-1. But don't worry, it sounds a lot worse than it is.
Yeah, take the warp zone to level 8.
Yeah. So both Chris and Scott from the Goo was saying, oh, right at this part, you got to go down this huge staircase, and at the bottom there's a lever, you pull it, it releases the gate that opens up right at the starting point of the level, so it's like a shortcut to get to like the halfway point of 1-1. So I'm like, okay, cool. So we're a little bit late today, Jason had a PC issue, so I was like, I'm going to go try to open up that shortcut. So I'm going there, I get to that point where I'm like, oh, here's a staircase, I just got to walk down it. But as you're walking down the stairs, there's these like kind of like zombie-ish looking things, like skeleton things that throw fire at you. So I locked onto one of them, and I went to attack. The same time I went to attack, it went to attack, and it slid past me. So I'm still locked on, so I hit attack again. I hit the skeleton, it falls off the ledge, but my animation carries me over the ledge as well, and I drop like 20 stories to my death. And then at that point, I just look at the screen. I'm like, fuck you, Demon Souls. Fuck you. And then I'm sitting there like, okay, I'll try again. But like, no, we got to record.
Shit.
But
I don't know if I should get this game, dude.
No, dude.
I hate every single thing about it if it was applied to other games, but the battle system in the game is really, the fighting in it is really good. And it's very, you cannot go in lazy. Like I compare the battles to Ninja Gaiden, but a lot slower. Mm-hmm. Whereas you have to wait for the enemy to make their move, then you got to make your move, and you got to look for patterns and what enemies you're fighting, and use like different tactics on them. But the thing is, even when you know that, even the very beginning part, you have to walk up these steps. It's the very beginning of 1-1 with the easiest enemies, and after like 3 times, like I'm just gonna rush these guys and like mash. You can't. And I'm like, okay, well, I know they're going to do this attack. They'll still change their attacks up here and there. So you still have to look at every single fight.
So it's not a real strict pattern or anything. It's more
It's not a real strict pattern.
Okay.
Yeah, but you'll know, like, at least the enemies I fought, they only have, like, a few basic attacks. But when they throw them at you is different. So I know when the skeleton things do the jumping thrust, that right after they do that, they're going to follow with, like, 3 random slashes from left to right. So I know either to dodge out of the way, or if I block it, to hold down block until that last slash is done, then I can attack and take them out. So there is patterns for sure, but it's what pattern they're going to throw out there is kind of meh.
Yeah, they have several attacks, and they mix up how they attack you. That's kind of the way it
exactly,
works.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have a large arsenal of things that you can do. It's like you can carry multiple weapons. You can carry 2 weapons equipped, and you can switch on the fly. You can dual wield, if you have like specific types of weapons, you can dual wield if you want. And then you can also carry a shield, that kind of thing. So blocking is easy, and you can also parry. And after you parry, you can counter attack, which does this like really, really strong attack and kills most of the like peon enemies in one shot. So you, there,
I can't, I've never done a counter attack. Can you do a counter attack like at the very beginning?
You can. I'm having trouble timing it with the Royal. I started playing with the Knight, and I was able to do it with the Knight, but I restarted and used...
Do you hold down block, or do you have to wait till they attack, then hit block, then hit R1?
No, it's L... you hit L2. It's not you don't hit block. You hit L2. L1 is block.
Oh, no. L2 is block, isn't it? Isn't
no. L1 is block. L2 is parry. So you parry right as they're attacking, and it knocks the sword away. And then during the animation where the sword gets knocked away, you hit R1, and he like lunges forward and stabs the shit out of him.
Damn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you do have a large arsenal, and you can it gives you a dodge maneuver. It's got a jump back maneuver and stuff like that. So you know you can in a one-on-one combat situation, you do have a lot of options that you can do. Now, when you're getting double teamed, you need to start thinking differently. And you know, I almost equate it to real life as much as you can get real life in a video game, you know, because if you're getting double teamed, you need to line those suckers up so that they're in line with each other, so you're only fighting one at a time. Because you do not want to get double teamed in this game. It's not a pretty sight.
Or you have a swooping weapon or something like that, which I don't have.
Which hits,
like a spear,
yeah. If you have like a large slashing weapon,
sword.
That'll help. But then if you're inside like tight quarters, when you slash, you hit the wall and it fucks up your attack. So it's all very technical, and you really have to know what kind of weapon is the right one to use, and that kind of thing. It's hard to really explain anything else besides that. You really have to think about what you're doing in the combat, and that's the way. That's
it's
really
a medieval
the biggest thing about
sim
it.
Is what it is.
Yeah. It's kind of like a medieval, yeah. And I think this is made by Japanese developers who are making a very Western oriented game, and I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I think that's why maybe the art style is really generic, because they're like, oh,
they really
what
focused
is,
on the
what
combat.
She's like,
those Americans are pretty generic,
screen.
Yeah.
See, they're like generic fantasy. Like, what does fantasy look like? Oh,
they're like
okay.
The Lord of the Rings
no,
dragon.
There's no mid-drift and spiky hair. It's
that's
like,
right. That's right. No mid-drift and spiky hair. But there are several classes you can play as well. So you have a way to kind of mix and match what you want. But at the same time, there's no equipment restrictions as far as like classes go. As long as you meet the statistical requirements to use a weapon or a piece of armor, you can use that weapon or piece of armor. So yeah. That's kind
talk,
of
cool. I like that.
Talk to me a bit about the classes, because it sounds like, you know, the combat's pretty much the same for everybody. What's the benefit of going with one class over the other?
Chris, I've only used the hunter. That's what I am right now. So.
Really? It's the class is mainly
starting.
It's what you start as. It's you know, and then you can mold and shape your character however you want after that. Mm-hmm. So it's like the knight starts. I mean, he's really physical. He's a tank. You know, he can take a lot of damage. He does a lot of damage. But the problem is he has no ranged attack. He's kind of slow. His dodge maneuvers take a lot of stamina because he's in like this big bulky armor. So you know, there's that to worry about. With the other character that I'm using, the royal. The royal has a magic attack. Not only that, but he starts with a ring that gives his magic points back. So he starts at level 1. Okay, so each class starts at a different level. The royal is the only one that starts at level 1. Everybody else starts at level 4, 6, and 9. So it really depends on that as well. So the royal, you actually have more of an ability to mold and shape because you don't start at level 9 already. You know, you get to actually put 1, 2 through 8 in there. When you're leveling up. So it's kind of neat the way they let you do that. And they don't, the only restrictions on equipment is gender. There are some, there's like armor later in the game that's only for females and only for males and that kind of thing. Wow. So with the knight, I actually died twice, without ever getting to the first checkpoint, without ever opening up the first shortcut. With the royal, I died once throughout the entire first stage. So
he was a lower level.
Yeah, even though he's a lower because of the
he's
spell.
Got a crazy magic attack.
Yeah, it's a crazy ass magic attack. It's like it can kill most enemies in one shot.
You think that'll balance out though towards the end of the game? Yeah, he's gonna. End
well,
up
it depends on how you mold and shape your character. See, that's
kinda
the
like
thing.
A jack of all trades. You'll be weak in one area or whatever. So.
Yeah, well, by the time it happens, hopefully, you know, I'll be able to balance out the way the character is. Like, I've already done that. It's like he starts with a very low vitality and a very low strength. And, you know, I've already leveled him up to the point where he's kind of balanced
out. Also, in 1-1, you're not facing a lot of enemies that have... I don't think you're facing any enemies that have magic. So I think when you get further along, like, he's probably got... Like, his health's probably really low, right, Chris?
It starts pretty low, yeah. His vitality starts pretty low.
So I'm sure once you start fighting tougher enemies that maybe throw more projectiles at him and stuff like that, he becomes more of a weaker character.
Yeah.
But for 1-1, I hear he's, like, pretty much a beast. Even in the strategy guide that you that comes with the deluxe edition... It actually says if you're just starting, a good starting character is actually the Royal.
Yeah. And you wouldn't think so because, like, his strength is really low and all that shit. But he starts with a rapier and he starts with, you know, a buckler for a shield. And he starts with this magic attack. And, you know, the shield will block anything that anybody throws at you on 1-1. And the rapier is actually really fast. You know, and because of the... He's got an upgraded amount of stamina. It's like you can attack more times and roll more times before he's, you know, to the point where he has to rest to get his stamina back. So, and then, I mean, I know that, like, Scott from Welcome to Goo, he's using a hunter. And I think our buddy John is playing and he's using a hunter. I tried the knight and the knight
roll
was...
Roll a hunter.
The knight's really strong, but, you know, he's just... It just wasn't... I think once I master the combat a little more, I would like to go back to the knight because it's more of my style of play for these types of games. But, you know, the Royal is a good starting point, and I'm really learning the combat with him, with the Royal.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, like, normally, like, I think a lot of people would kind of shun away from this type of thing, but the game does a lot of things good that have been done before, but they just take it that one step further, like... There's not really a storyline to the game from what I hear. There's not really much of a narrative. It's basically like, hey, here's a storyline at the beginning. Here's the introduction. Boom. You have a couple NPCs you can talk to in like a hub world and you meet here and there. But there's not really a story besides something's going on. There's this green fog took over this area. Anyone who enters the green fog never returns.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's basically, so you're a warrior entering that area into the green fog.
Yeah.
But while you're in there, the online component is really messed up because it's really cool. Okay, it's like, okay, remember Fable 2? You guys both play Fable 2, right?
I didn't play it, but I know of it. I know what you're talking about, so...
Yeah, same.
You know, the orbs, that you can turn on the orbs so you can see, like, people online, these orbs floating around, and that's what they're doing in the world at that exact time. Well, this game does that exact same thing. But what it does, it doesn't show you a persistent person moving. What it'll show is a silhouette, kind of like a ghost image, of, like, a fraction of, like, 4 seconds or less of people in that world at different times. So it's kind of like you're walking around, all of a sudden you'll see something to the side. It's like, oh, there's a dude walking past fighting someone, and you're like, oh, it's kind of weird, and this disappears. And you can leave messages, and people can leave you messages that anyone can read. You just leave them on the floor. It'll be like this pink, like, glow. And you walk up to hit a message, and basically you can help out other people online, or they can help you out, or you can totally put them in the wrong direction. Like, for instance, I got to this part where you go up in this, like, top of this castle, and then I got to this part where there's kind of like a corridor, and then at the end of the corridor is this big-ass knight with red glowing eyes. And I'm like, that guy looks scary. And then I say, oh, there's a message here. It's probably going to help me out and be like, oh, run away or use this weapon.
Here's how you fight.
Yeah, exactly. I click on it. It's like, oh, beginner should go this way. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I guess this guy is probably pretty easy, and you probably get a really kick-ass weapon. So I walk up to him. Combat starts, hits me once, dead. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I tried this about 2 or 3 times. And then I logged off, like, last night, and then I get a message, like, from literally 2 people on my friends list, both saying, oh, by the way, if you see a knight with glowing red eyes, do not fight him. You can't fight him until a lot longer in the game. So I'm like, that son of a bitch. Someone put that message there just to fuck with people so they'd go and, like, get their ass kicked.
But in retrospect,
it's helped me.
In retrospect, I actually, after I finished 1-1, I went leveled up and came back to that area with the Royal, and I fought the Red Knight with the Royal while he was, like, I think I leveled him up to, like, level 8 or something like that. And I did get to beat him, and he gave me like 2,000 souls. It was crazy.
Oh, nice. Well, you can actually beat him as a beginner too.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you're good enough at the combat, but that's it. You need to be good at the combat.
No, no, no. There's a way. If you read the strategy guide, there's a very easy way to beat him.
Oh, make him fall.
You basically. So he chases you, and you make him fall down.
Yeah.
Fall down like a long drop, and then you just go loot his body and whatever.
Pretty much.
But two other instances. Well, one, which I thought was clever the first time I saw it, in the first level, there's a pit of, like, and then you see glowing blue stuff coming from it. So when I saw that, I'm like, oh, you probably have to jump in there. But then there's a mess. Or no, there's a blood stain right in front of it. And you can also, if you die, you leave a blood stain. And anyone online who sees that blood stain can hit X, and they'll see the last few seconds of your life.
Whoa, cool. Which
it, like, it'll, yeah, it'll like, really pop neat, up, like, actually. It's a red, like, silhouette, and you get to see, like, what happened, how that person died. And then all of a sudden, it just shows this red silhouette walk, look at the pit, and just jump in. So I'm like, well, okay, I know I have to jump in there now. That's what I've done. So, but the thing is, I kept playing, like, I died a few times, like, later on that level, so I had to keep going past the part, and there's always that blood stain there. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, maybe this is, like, a canned one to show you, like, how they work. But then, like I said, before we started recording, I went to that area again, there was no blood stain there. So that was literally people doing that shit, like looking at it and being like, maybe I jump down here and jumping down. So, I mean, if you see the blood stains around, you should probably click on them to see what the hell's going on, because they can save you sometimes.
Can you identify these people at all? Like, you know,
No, that's my only complaint. Yeah. It's not even a complaint, but I can understand. I like that they don't identify people when they're doing the whole silhouettes where you see them in the white, like ghostly shape figures running by. That kind of adds a mystery to it and adds to the sense of you're alone, but there's these souls running around with you. Uh-huh. But when you see a blood stain, I wish it would tell you who it was.
Exactly.
Because that
I would love
be
to
hilarious.
See yeah, everyone on my friends list.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That'd be jokes. Be like, hey, Savory K is jumping in the pit. What an idiot.
Dumbass. Chances are you wouldn't see Savory K's blood stain. He's probably way ahead of us by now.
Hey, well, Chris, you want to explain how the actual multiplayer stuff works? Have you tried that?
I haven't, but it's kind of weird. You can't do it in the first area because you don't actually have the items needed. And I haven't tried it yet, but from what I understand, once you get past that first world, you get a stone where, you know, when you start a new area, you can put down the stone and people can join your game and you can do the entire area co-op. And somehow, some way around that the loot works. It's like they can't take loot back with them or something like that, but they get to keep all their souls or something like that. And then, but the thing about it is that when you put the stone down, you don't know who's going to pick it up. And there's not really,
it could be anyone.
Right. There's not really an invite system. There's no voice chat. So it's very, you know, it's very anonymous. It's like people will just come into your game and that's it. I mean, you fight together and you don't ever talk to them or anything. And you don't know who they
are.
Or
they can fight against you too, can't they?
Yeah, they can invade your game as well. And that there's actually apparently a boss where, it's like part of the game is to invade someone else's area. And that's like a boss fight.
That's so intrusive.
It is. Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either, but I hope it's done right. I hope it's like, I hope the person who's invading, like if you're the one who's supposed to invade, or I think the boss is you have to fight an invading opponent. I'm really hoping for the game's sake that they make your opponent a little bit weaker or something to make it, give you a chance. Also, what if there's nobody playing this game in 3 months and I'm sitting there like, you know, I'm finally going to beat Demon's Souls and I get to that boss fight and I'm like, wait, what do? I wait there forever?
Yeah, that's a good question.
No,
I'm
one's
not
online.
Sure how that works.
Does it pop up on your screen being like, oh, somebody's at this boss. Would you like to be the invader? Sure. Like, I don't know how that's going to work. Yeah. But
the game is really good,
cool,
though.
It's a cool
it's really, there's a lot of innovative features to it. And as much as we say that it's generic, the areas, like the world that they've created is pretty damn expansive. And, excuse me. But Jeff, you haven't seen this yet, but they give you a taste of what's to come, because later on in 1-1, you see like two dragons that are just like perched on this cliff.
Okay.
And it's pretty awesome. And there's like this really long bridge, and the dragon
yes,
will like,
I've seen videos of
that. Yeah. The dragon will fly over the bridge and just breathe fire on the bridge and take out all the enemies. And then you get all the souls. It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then there's apparently that's where the purple glowings, the what's it called? The shield is over there too, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a purple shield over there.
You can run really quickly before that it comes back again and grab it.
Don't do that.
Apparently though. That's like, oh, okay. Why?
The easiest thing to do is to beat World 1-1. And then redo World 1-1, because the next time you go in, the dragons aren't there. So you can just go and loot all the bodies that are there. You get like...
Oh, so that part where you see the dragon swoop down the bridge, that's in 1-1?
Yes, that's in 1-1.
Oh,
and it's
cool.
Like, you'll be walking down this corridor, and you'll see the long bridge, and then there'll be like an area that you can go off to the left, and that actually leads outside to the perch that they're sitting on. And, you know, you go up to the perch and there's like five or six bodies you can loot. There's like, there's two rings, there's a shield, there's like, they have these like soul gems. Where, okay, so when you die, you lose all your souls. But if you have, but the soul gems are, they're like soul storage units. So you can, it's just an item that holds souls and they don't come out until you use it. So when you die, you lose all your souls, but you keep those items and they don't go away.
Yeah.
So that's a plus too. That's the good thing about it is like when you die, all the loot that you got, you keep. So the only thing that you lose is the souls. So that's a plus. Cool.
And souls are like currency or whatever. Like
their currency
and their experience points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You basically buy levels up, put it that way.
Yeah, so that's... Well, I don't want to say too much more just because I literally just picked it up yesterday and I'm not too far into it, but I'm enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would, but then again, it's still new, so next week we'll see how much I'm either loving it or hating it. But it's definitely unique, and I can just tell people just by like watching videos and seeing screenshots, do not judge it by that, because read some of the reviews, because it actually is like nothing I've never played before. It just take a lot of elements from other games and throws it together, but the way it does it is just really, really cool. And we'll see if I can still put up with the patience testing it seems to throw at me all the time. We'll see if I can put up with that for longer than a couple of weeks, but that's my biggest concern.
So far, is it living up to the hype?
I can't answer that question yet. I can't answer that question.
Yeah, and I had really I actually saw it and thought, oh, that looks meh. And it does actually look a lot better on screen. Like it actually does. The graphics are pretty decent, and it's got really good atmosphere. But I had low expectations, so it's better than what I thought it was going to be initially. But I can't say right now whether or not it's worth the reviews it's getting. I'll have to give it a couple more weeks. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot. And I promised a spoiler alert that I was going to buy his copy because he's done with it already. Like less than a day, he was like, fuck this game.
Yeah.
Give it a shot, man. Unfortunately, there's no Super the fucking Jason mode. Sorry.
That's all right. Hey, I got the skills in me. I just don't want to apply myself all too often. I mean, it's a game. It's an escape, right? But
yeah. Jeff,
that's all I've been basically playing.
Okay, cool.
What
were you gonna say? I was gonna say we're still on you. So what else you got?
No, that's basically it. I played a lot of things here and there, but nothing worth talking about.
Okay. We've talked about most of the games I played already. I played Demon's Souls. I played the Bayonetta demo. I played. See what else did I play. I played some more Monster Hunter. Some more Symphony of the Night. I also played more Uncharted, and I beat it my second time through. So that was cool. And it's, yeah, as I'm,
it was like 3 hours, right?
Actually it took me 8.
Wow. That's a lot.
As I went back and played the game, it was one of those areas where I was like, you know, there's a lot of games that look technically better than Uncharted does, but none of them are as colorful and as beautiful as Uncharted is. You know, and that's, I mean, granted, this is my opinion, but, you know, it's like Killzone is a graphically incredible game, but it's so brown. And, you know, you get into Uncharted and there's, you know, all these greens and these, you know, all this foliage and all that other stuff. And it's just very colorful and very, the atmosphere is incredible. And I had to go back and it reminded me how much that I really liked that about that game. But it also reminded me so many of the things that I hope they fixed.
Didn't like about
that. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I really hope they fixed. It's like, yeah, in past episodes, we talked about like the conditional jumping. Like when you jump, it actually does the jump animation based on where you're jumping to. You know, maybe you're jumping to a ledge that's only 3 feet away. Well, you're going to jump differently to that than you would a ledge that's 6 feet away. Well, sometimes that conditional platforming doesn't exactly work. So I hope they make that work a little better in the second one. And then, you know, we talked about the gunplay last week, so I don't want to retouch on that. But, I mean, I still love the game, and I still think it's, you know, it's a 9 game. But, you know, I just hope that they the little nuances that they had in part one, I really hope they fix those in part two. So,
well, according to every single review and their reviews grandmother, they have been. So
I know.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, that's it. That's about it for me. So wow, our distraction section was like almost an hour long. So let's pass it off to Jeff to do some news.
All right, we'll do some quick news here. For those of you interested in Forza 3, we talked about it earlier. If you buy the game new, Microsoft, or I guess Turn 10, they're throwing in 2 bonus tracks and 10 exclusive cars. So basically it's one of those incentives not to buy the game pre-owned. So it's probably going to be, yeah. It's probably going to come with like a code or something like that where it's like, into this code, you'll download these, whatever. So, yeah, but I don't know. No, I'd say that's actually a good idea. The tracks for sure, but when you have a roster of like 400 cars.
Yeah, no one cares about these 10 cars.
For exclusive, yeah. Well, there's some decent cars on there, but I'm not sure how many people care that much. Well, people who care that much are going to buy it new anyway, so.
Probably.
That's basically what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah,
Yeah, so if you're, just in case you're wondering, if you're waiting around being like, oh, wait for it to become used, you're going to be missing out on 2 bonus tracks and 10 exclusive cars. Just to let you know.
There you go.
Word. PSP Go, you know, the minis, they launched the same time the Go did. Those little bite-sized games you can buy for 99 cents.
Oh, really? I didn't see any for that much.
Oh, that's right, because they're not.
Exactly.
They're about $4.99 to $10, these PSP minis. Sony came out and said, actually, it's not in their hands. The price is left solely to the developers.
Right.
We've heard that story before, yeah. Haven't we?
we don't take any royalties from that. We make the prices solely to the developer's choice. Yeah, right.
It's like, yeah, it's in their hands, but what we do is for every game they put out, if they want to charge $5, we take 4. So I don't know. They can charge for whatever they want for it, but we take $4 at least. So they didn't actually say that, not verbatim, so I don't want to get a shit. No, I'm not talking to you. I know you guys know that, but some people will give me shit and be like, that's not what they said. I'm like, I know that, but I'm just, you know, being sarcastic.
Very disappointing. Who the hell wants to pay another $10 for Tetris?
Yeah, when they can get the same version of Tetris on the iPhone for $5.
Right.
Yes, well, that's what I was going to say. The thing is, even $5 is too much. But yeah, $5 is way too much. Yeah. But Sony keeps saying, oh, we want the PSP Go to compete with the iPods and the iPhones. Well, if your apps and your little mini games are going to cost like 5 times as much as the cheapest ones on iPhone, you're not really pricing yourself in the same market.
Yeah, exactly. Because
that's why they do so well on iPhone. They're impulse buys. How many times have we sat there and been like, oh, you're going to get this? I don't know. It's only $1. It's only $1? Yeah, I'll buy it.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Let's do it.
That's, you know, I really think that that's the way to make money in that type of marketplace. You know, it's like, yeah, these little bite-sized games, throw it out there for $1, and someone looks at it, it's like, oh, that looks kind of nice. Oh, $1? Who gives a shit about $1? You know? Oh, no, yeah, I skip Starbucks for a day.
People are likely to buy 5 more things for $1 than they are for 1 thing for $5.
I agree.
It's the way our minds work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rockin' Night Adventures, we played that game back in the day.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I played that. I forgot to mention games. I played that this week.
Me too.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Just for like nostalgia?
Yeah, just
like,
after I saw the story, I was like, oh shit, I'm going to go back and play it.
Did you play it on an emulator? Or
yeah,
yeah. Actually
I played it on my PSP.
Oh, well. This is where I'm going to get. Like, I played this for maybe 30 seconds, and I actually really liked it, but I had to pick between that, and I can't remember the game that came out roughly around, well, not necessarily came out around the same time, but I had money for one or the other, and they had it at Toys R Us, and I really liked it, but I went with whatever the other game was. I can't remember what the hell it was.
No, it must have been really made an impact on your gaming life.
Yeah, exactly. It might have been Jurassic Park.
That was a good choice.
Hey, the Genesis Jurassic Park wasn't that bad. You got to play as a raptor.
Well, that's true. But Rocket Knight.
But yeah, it's being remade for Xbox Live, PSN, and PC.
Now, is this a remake or is it a new one?
It's a new one as far as I know.
Oh, sweet. Good.
That's what it shows. Yeah, it's a new one. They're doing it with 2.5D graphics, which basically means 3D sprites and all that kind of stuff, but 2D plane. It looks pretty cool. You can see that in pretty much any website you go to. Just do a Google search or go to any of the big media outlets. You'll see screenshots and some videos. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, 1UP has a whole, like a big cover story.
They have
on
the
it.
Exclusive on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. It does look really cool.
They had exclusive all week. Yeah. So you can check that out. It's going to be hitting sometime next year on all three PSN, Xbox Live, and PC.
Can't wait.
Pretty awesome.
So people are listening out there. If people put in their votes and say, like, hey, we want this game, it's going to have, like, we got Marvel vs. Capcom, we got Bionic Commando, got Rocket Knight Adventure. I mean, People are listening.
I want to see. I really do want to see more games do this, because this is a great way to get people into like the older series that are out there. And you know, it's like we saw that we're seeing it with Rocket Knight. We saw it with Bionic Commando, like you said, and we saw it with Shadow Complex too. They went back to that old 2.5D, and you know, they're doing the old school gameplay with, you know, new souped up graphics, and people love it. And that's what I want to see out of Castlevania. That's what I want to see out of Metroid. That's what I want to see out of all those old school 2D games that we loved when we
Metroid would be awesome.
Oh man, I would love.
But Nintendo doesn't listen.
No,
that's one company that it seems to not listen. We want this in Virtual Console. You will not have this in Virtual Console.
Instead, okay. Have the Wii Vitality Sensor.
Well, no, you know what you could. Well, yeah. Instead, we're going to give you possibly maybe Beyonce Knowles, because I'm sure you guys know who Beyonce Knowles is.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
she's,
absolutely.
She's pretty big. Part of that Destiny's Child group back in the day. And then she kind of was like, screw you. I'm the one everyone cares about. I'm Beyonce. I'm married to Jay-Z. Or I don't, are they actually married? Well, whatever. I don't know what they're doing.
No.
But anywho. But yeah, she said she wants to get into gaming. She loves her Wii Fit. And she would love to put out some kind of video that would involve like choreographed dancing and like some exercise moves and the Wii board and all that kind of stuff, you know, shake the booty, you know.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, she's definitely interesting. Someone want to lead into this?
You know, Jeff, you know, I'm proud of you and all, and I'm going to let you finish your news segment here in a second, but
yeah.
Daisy Fuentes has the best fitness game on the Wii ever.
Oh, really? Sure. All right.
Exactly.
I'll take your word for it.
Really, will you? You know what else I think?
Yes. What?
Who gives a shit? Yeah, I don't care about her wanting to make a game. I hope she doesn't. But I will say that I do have a higher respect for Beyonce for what she did at the VMAs. So that was cool.
I'm really sorry for making that joke.
Why?
I'm just sick of it.
Yeah, it's happening way too often right now. And you know, it should have just should have been understood that we were gonna use it at one point or another.
I feel dirty.
What?
Dirty
what joke.
What do you mean what joke?
You didn't hear about this?
What?
You didn't hear about the Video Music Awards and how Kanye West fucked it up?
Oh no, I heard about that.
Yeah, Beyonce was the video that he mentioned.
Oh,
right?
I get that's what Jason was going for. Wow. Okay.
Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Whoa,
how you doing?
Damn. I get it now.
We can rewind that, right? Really flat.
I was like, okay. Speaking of falling flat,
did you guys see the article that Destructoid posted about this little news bite?
No, huh?
I'll have to send that to you. It's a picture of Beyonce falling off of the stage and landing on her head, pretty much.
That's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
It's bad.
Awesome.
But
all right, that was your news.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
I think we should, too.
I'm out of water, so I want to get some more. So when we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not retailers have any pull on whether we go to digital-only games or not. Then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we will be back right after this.
Awesome.
It's time to wake up.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
You welcome back.
Thank you. Today we are talking about more or less some of the shit that the PSP Go has brought up. A lot of retailers have started boycotting it, and one of the reasons that they're saying is that they can't actually sell games and stuff like that. And I'm just, you know, we're wondering if you guys think that if they actually have any pull and if they'll actually stop or slow the inception of digital distribution when it comes to games. So let's get started about talking about the PSP Go and the retailers that are boycotting it. I mean, you guys think it's a good idea to do this kind of thing?
Out of principle alone, absolutely. And actually, you know, to be perfectly honest, I don't blame them for wanting to boycott it, because there isn't like a retail solution for them, right? It's not like they're releasing cards for download or anything like
they
that.
They are, though.
Traditionally, retailers do not make any money on consoles, right? Mm-hmm. You know? So, I mean, what incentive is there for them to stock a console that's not going to make them any money?
But they do sell cards, though. You can buy PSN cards.
Yeah,
no, you can actually buy game cards now too.
Right, but I mean, it's not like it's a widespread thing.
No. It's probably like only certain retailers here and there. But
yeah, and in reality, when you talk about like the game cards, most of the people that are buying the game cards are people that don't have access to a credit card in order to buy them online.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
yeah.
So it's still eating at their market. But the thing about the PSP Go is that Sony said that there was actually margin built into the machine there, that they actually could make money on having just the machine, from what I understand. Which is why they're marking it up. Because there's a bunch of UK retailers that are already dropping it, like £25 and shit like that.
Yeah, there's already retailers saying that it's not moving at all.
Yeah, I really have to wonder if the digital distribution thing was more of an excuse and the main reason was more of the price
I don't know. I think it's kind of both. I think the retailers in the UK are kind of trying to play both cards. One is too expensive and one, there's actually just an article. I was going to throw in news. I figured I'd save it till this discussion. Some retailers in the UK said that it's not moving at all. And one of the main reasons is because there's no software you can bundle with it. And no ready-to-go software. So I don't know if that's... this is where I think it's actually true, because I've actually seen two instances of this actually happen at the GameStop near my work, where people were going to buy the PSP, and one dude was like, trade in this PSP, he's going to trade it in, and he's like, oh, okay, so how do I get my games onto here? And the rep's like, well, you can't. He's like, well, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? He's like, you pretty much have to buy the games again to download them. And right away, the guy's like, okay, forget it. I'm not trading it in. And I saw that happen twice within a week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't – and, you know, Sony has been very clear that they wanted – that this is a product for new PSP buyers. But at the same time, I mean, the people that have had PSPs since launch, I mean, this is a nice, sleek, sexy little piece of hardware that we would love to get our hands on. At least I would.
Mm-hmm. I think,
but I'm not going to pay for $250 for it. That's for sure.
They'd make a lot of money if they did upgrade things. That would get a lot of us to upgrade to it if we could do that. And that's a big part of the market they're throwing out the window. And that's where I can see that where the retailers can kind of hold that against them, being like, listen, like they can't buy used games. They can't trade in their old games. Which means they're not going to buy as much new games and not give us money and not give you money. So why should we carry this?
Yeah, and see, that's one of the things that I think is going to slow down the inception of digital distribution is the fact that you can't get used games and things aren't discounted based on how long they've been out, you know, necessarily. Because when it comes to digital distribution, the price is basically based on whatever, you know, Sony wants to base it on, or Steam, or, you know, whoever. And, you know, when it comes to having an actual retail store, sure, you might actually have the game at like $49.99 used or whatever, but all of a sudden you might have 12 copies and you'll drop the price $10 to get rid of it because your supply is through the roof, you know? So you won't see as much of that, you know, that supply and demand chain because there's unlimited supply. So however much the demand is, I mean, that's how much they're going to sell.
Well, I'm hoping that Sony will realize that's a big driving force in them selling games is when they do that, and that they'll actually be like, hey, no one's downloaded this game in a while. There are very little numbers. Let's drop the price by $5.
Yeah.
Let's drop the price by $10.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the NIS stuff that went on sale with the PSP Go. I mean, what was it? Prinny went out for half price.
Time Fun.
And Badman, A Holy Invasion of Privacy Badman. I bought both of those because they were $10 each, you know, because they dropped the price on all of them. I bought them both. I haven't played them yet, but, you know, they're sitting on my PS3 waiting for me to transfer over. But and I think that's, you know, the fact that unless they can actually price the digital version of the game reasonably, I see retailers being a large pull, but not in the way of boycotting, more in the way that, oh, I can get this game from digital download for $20, but I can go to the store right now and get it for $20 with, you know, a box and instructions and all this other
instructions
stuff.
Instructions and everything.
And, you know, people that like seeing stuff on their shelves, like me, are going to do that instead. But then, you know, exact opposite, people that don't want the clutter are going to do the digital distribution piece.
All right, well, so before we go on into it, Jason, do we have like an email or something to hit up?
We do, indeed. This one's from Mr. Lee Kelly. He says, howdy, and his crew. Lee Kelly again, here to answer your cue. Personally, I don't think there will ever be a time where all retailers boycott it just for being digital only. I also don't think that the PSP Go boycotts were justified because there's nothing stopping retailers from putting a PSN download code in a box for a certain game. If they feel the need to collectively boycott a system just for being digital, then Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, Sega can just sell the consoles themselves through Sony centers, etc. Have a great show, guys. Also enjoy IndusFest.
IndusFest!
Peace, Lee Kelly. P.S. Anyone on the forums want to pay for a flight from Birmingham, U.K. to IndusFest?
Sure. I'm on it. Here's my credit card number. Wait.
Do you reckon it's a long shot?
That's far away.
If you say, do you reckon, you're probably from Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, really.
U.K.
So just drive your ass over.
Right.
All right, so we kind of brushed on the download card thing inside the stores. And that's not really a full solution, though, is it? I mean,
well, no, but he does bring up a good point that right now, it's, let's say digital distribution does take off, that's going to put a lot of video game retailers out of business, like if it really, really takes off. So if they were smart, they wouldn't be boycotting shit, because what's going to happen is if I was like Sony and I'm saying, okay, I'm putting out this PSP, whatever, and this is what we're going to do, and we're putting it out digital distribution, and the retailer's like, you know what, we're not going to carry that, because we're not making any money off it. Sony, what they could do is turn and be like, you know what? God of War 3 is coming out in February. You guys aren't getting it. Too bad. It's going to be a system mover. It's going to sell consoles, which makes you guys sell warranties, which makes you guys sell accessories, which makes you guys sell subscriptions to Game Informer, do whatever to get people in the store and buy other crap while they're buying their system and their game. That makes them the most profit, because they don't make profit off the hardware and barely the games, everything else that goes with it. We're going to take away like a killer app that's going to sell systems. You're not going to touch it, and you're not going to make any money. That's fine. You know what? Boycott our PSP. We can sell that through other people that will sell it, but you can go fuck yourself. We're not going to, you know, Rockstar could be like, we're not giving you Grand Theft Auto 5. You're not getting it. It's digital distribution only, and we're going to have it in like some disc form, but we're, you know what? Forget it. You're just not getting it because you're boycotting. Well, of course, they don't have a console, so they can't really do that. But if they had like an exclusivity deal with like Sony or MS or something like that. So I think personally right now it'd be really dumb for retailers to boycott anything digital distribution at this point, because if it does take off, it's going to hardcore bite them in the ass.
But I mean, but who's going to sell the games at that point? I mean, you can only sell so much online, and still a lot of people are leery of that. And the driving force of sales is always going to be retail. Not everybody's hooked up online. Not everybody has broadband. You know, Walmart is, you know, the driving force in you know, video game sales. So I mean, if you cut someone like Walmart out.
Walmart, I don't think Walmart would boycott, though, because they make their money
elsewhere.
Yeah,
Walmart won't ever boycott.
I'm talking about, like, I'm not talking...
But they could, though. I mean, that's what we're talking about, you know? If we go a completely digital distribution route, you know? And, I mean, it has the potential to go that way, you know? Especially in the PSP Go. And if, you know, some big megastore does actually boycott, you know, the sales of, you know, that hardware and thusly the games, what's Sony going to do? Do you think they're established enough where they can just sell online?
Well, see,
not now. Definitely
if it got
now.
To the point where some of the bigger retailers, I mean, you know, Jeff's talking about, you know, a counter boycott basically is like, so Sony's not going to send you their best game or something right. like that. And I think Walmart would just be like, okay, you know, so yeah. As long as it stays, you know, the smaller retailers, I don't think have any pull whatsoever. It's like right. if EB were wiped off the face of the earth, I don't think anybody would, you know, anybody in the industry necessarily would give a shit. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm willing to bet 90% of them would be happy.
I can't agree with it. As much as I'm not a big fan of EB or GameStop, they're also a driving force. I mean, they're a great storefront. You know, they do a great job of showcasing, you know, video games. Whereas opposed to Walmart, you know, it's a section in the store or whatever. They might have a couple end caps or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
They're an important retailer.
I do see your point, but I mean, it's like, is it worth the money that they think they're losing based on the used sales?
All I know is you don't fuck with your salespeople.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know, especially if they're, you know, some of your biggest sellers, if they make you the most money.
But right now, do you think they have that pull though? Like not like the little retail.
The ones that are actually doing the boycotting right now, I don't think they do.
No,
the smaller shops, no, right?
No, because but that's the thing is, I don't think Walmart and Best Buy would boycott because they make their money elsewhere. Either. So they'd be like, okay, we'll carry it. It's just extra money.
They're doing that to get people in the store. It's like they're going to sell the PSP Go whether they've got games to sell with it or not.
Exactly.
Because it gets you into the electronics section, and you're going to buy a new memory card, and you're going to buy and to be honest with you, that might be half the reason that Sony made everything a different accessory now, because that's the way, because they're kind of pitching it to retailers like, this is how you're going to make your money. Sell the cradle, sell the screen protectors, sell the memory stick duo twos or whatever the fuck those little things are called. You know, all that other accessory bullshit that they're trying to market, you know, and there's probably a good markup on that for retailers. Maybe.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, I would assume
that markup is ridiculous. It's crazy high.
I gotta wonder. On the other hand, it's like when you think about the PSN card or the download cards, it's like what kind of markups on those?
Yeah.
You know.
It would probably be the same as selling a game, pretty much.
I mean, because then it's like you're kind of throwing the retailers a bone. You know, by letting them have these cards to sell for the same price that you have it on PSN, but look how much more money you would be selling, because you're cutting the margin of the retailer out altogether. And that's kind of one of the reasons that I think that having a download game at the same price as the game in the store is kind of a dick move, because you've cut out the margin of the retailer. So, you know, instead of, you know, reaping the benefits of that, give back some of that to the customer.
But the thing is, that they have to, because if they're afraid, if they don't do that, then the retailers will be like, "Fuck you, we're not going to carry your games."
How'd that go again?
All right. So here's my point, though. So if they, you know, keep everything just digital downloads, you know, there's far less incentive for customers to go into the store looking for games than they're, you know. I mean, that's when mm-hmm. they're tempted to buy accessories, right?
For sure.
So if you, I mean, if they're keeping them out of the stores, wouldn't that piss someone off? I mean, granted, we've got all the accessories in the world that we can, you know, mark up and sell for high profit, but we've got less people coming in for games, you know, the major reason that they're coming in the first place. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Oh, yeah, but those same people that would likely not go in the store because of digital download have an access to digitally download stuff, and they can get that stuff elsewhere. So they'd be like, yeah, they have no need to go to a store.
I think it's a dick move to do to the retailers, to be honest.
I don't really see much of a point in it. It's like, I mean, I see why they're doing it, but there's really no point in doing it, because does Sony give a shit? I mean, it's like, okay, these little retailers over here are boycotting my product. How much percentage of my sales come from this company? What, like 0.5% of my sales worldwide come from that company, or something like that.
Nobody's going to dispute that a few mom and pop shops and smaller retailers are going to affect the industry. Nobody's arguing that. I thought we were talking about, you know, retailers in general. If there was a, you know, massive boycott, if retailers just said "fuck you," we're not going to carry your shit.
Yeah. Well.
So
Right, and that's kind of what Jeff's coming back with. You know, it's one of those things where I don't think Best Buy or Walmart or any of the big retailers would do that.
Would.
Because it would just be...
But if they did, though.
If they did, it would hurt. It would hurt. I mean, if Walmart just up and said, I'm not carrying the PSP Go, you could probably bet that something would change.
So there we go. Our hypothetical question answered.
Hypothetical question answered. But then, as I said, that could lead to another question of the week is then, if this is true, then is digital distribution ever going to take off?
And that's the thing. I still don't think
option.
It is. It is a great option. But that's exactly what it is. It's an option.
Yeah.
It's an option.
So it's an option, but it's not going to be an option that gives back to the consumers because they want to keep the retailers happy.
I don't think it's that.
There's room for both. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I really think that's the entire part of it is because there's so many people out there that still want physical media. You know, there's so many people out there that have restrictions on bandwidth. You know, so there's many different reasons that would make a person want to go out and buy a piece of a physical piece of media.
No, I know that. What I'm saying is, though, because like you said, digital distribution cuts out the middleman. So there's a lot of people complaining that, well, if I'm downloading this, it's not going through any kind of distribution channel. Why am I paying the same price as in a retailer?
Right. But how many people are out there are savvy enough to think that when they're buying these games? See what I'm getting at?
It's far less than you'd think.
I would say your hardcore audience and then some very educated internet people, you know? and that's pretty much it. The average consumer is not going to know the difference.
Exactly.
And it's just going to be like, oh, well, it's the same price. Well, it's the same price. So what? Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it.
Hey, you guys want a voicemail by chance?
Sure.
I
could play one for you.
Do I ever?
Is Burning Mirror.
So, buddy?
Well, I think that it's three things that might possibly keep digital media from going, you know, mainstream, that being the only source to get our games, movies, things like that. And I think it's going to be a combination of retail, ISP, and DRM. Firstly, retail. I just think that the only way they're going to be able to, compensate with selling these things is that they're going to have to put, like, I don't know, kind of what they did with Patapong, where they had, like, the download card or the little card that you buy it and you got the case and the actual manual in there. And you can, you just downloaded it with the code in there. And I also think, yeah, they're just going to have to carry some type of thing because I don't think the retailers are really going to try to push these merchandise as much as they do with when you can actually buy the software there. Because I work in retail myself, and with the PSP Go, we didn't even have any type of special deal going on that we usually do. We just kind of got it in and, you know, just threw it in the case, and it was there. There you go. We actually even had a sign up for the older PSP, and we had a deal going with that. So,
That's true.
Second thing is just ISP. I know a lot of people don't actually have internet, and I know that a lot of internet ISPs, they have bandwidth caps. And I think that downloading all these games, they're going to have to work something out with ISPs because there's no way that a lot of people are going to, you know, want to just download their games when they have these caps. And on top of everything else that they download, movies, music, and all of that, they're going to have to work something out with that, especially availability. I think they're always going to have some kind of tangible media because I don't think they're going to alienate that crowd of people that, you know, doesn't have a strong internet connection or can't afford, you know, that great internet connection. To download these games. I don't think they're going to, you know, alienate these people and lose money on that. They're going to have to, you know, and some people say, well, they can have download booths in the store, but what would be the point of driving to a store, sitting down and downloading a game for,
that's such a dumb idea.
Drive to a store and pick up the game there, go home, there you go. Driving to a store and downloading a game, I don't know, it just sounds ridiculous to me. And the last thing is just DRM. I think a lot of people like myself, I mean, I'm okay with the digital downloading. I mean, I have a strong internet connection and something like that. I'm just afraid of DRM and what they'll do with it. They have the PSP Go. I mean, I'm okay with that. That's fine because I'm okay with digital media with that because it's supposed to be portable. That's the whole thing. I don't want to carry on UMDs, even though I'm not buying one because it's overpriced. But yeah, I think that's cool. But in 20 years, will you be able to play these games? That's just my point. Will you be able to play these games? Like, what if you, I don't know, use your 5 download limit on it and you can't download them anymore? I mean, is Sony going to, you know, give you all these games back, or are you just going to be out of luck? That, and I like to be able to pretty much, I think a lot of people, they want to do whatever they want with their media. And, you know, with digital media, you can't, you know, sell it and all that, things like that. Trying to think. I have a list here. Long, I know.
No, that's
yeah,
good. That's good.
That's pretty much it. I just think people are, like myself, are just going to be kind of wondering, you know, what kind of DRM are they going to put on all these things? Will I be able to back up all of my games? You know, things like that. So I think it's really going to be a combination of things that's going to keep digital media, you know, from going, being the main source of how we get our media. I just think if they do it, they're going to have to do it right. But honestly, I think they're going to screw it up. I don't know. That's just my my scoop, so to speak. Yeah, let me get back to work, honestly. keep it up. Thanks. Bye.
Later, man. Thank you.
Awesome. That was a good voicemail.
Was his name Burning Flame?
Burning Mirror.
Burning Mirror.
Burning Mirror.
Name.
Burning Mirror. Awesome. Awesome voicemail. I wish I had a pen because I wanted to come in with so many points there because there's so many good ones.
Yeah.
The thing that stands out most in my mind is that I totally agree with him on is the going to the store to download. That is such
ridiculous.
A retarded idea. Oh, I want to download a game on my PS3. Do I have to bring my PS3 in to download it? I mean, how does that work? I don't even want to think about that. So dumb
it might actually work, though, to people who don't have internet connections or fast ones. Like, I worked retail at an EV, and you would be surprised how many people would line up for that shit.
Like, I could see it working in the portable space, but like for home consoles, it's just not going to happen.
And he brought out like I didn't realize that, but yeah, my GameStop has not been advertising the PSP Go at all. They've just you guys can't hear me, can you?
No, yeah,
I can hear you.
Oh, okay, cool. But yeah, not at all. Like usually, if there's a new system, they have signs everywhere. PS3 is here. PS3 Slim is here. Only $2.99. The Go just showed up, and it's just on the back shelf in the back.
Yeah,
the
I've
counter.
Seen a lot of reports about that. Like they're saying that the PSP Go was like the most subtle hardware launch ever. You know, it's like it just kind of appeared.
I think I saw more signage for the Game Boy Micro. Actually,
And he brought up, like, another thing is that you can't resell your games, and you can't, like, and that is a big draw for gamers. Even people will frown upon trading in your games, but a lot of people trade in their games to get new games,
exactly.
So that's a hit to both the publishers and the retailers.
Yeah, and as much as publishers and developers will say that they don't like the used market, if the used market wasn't there, they probably wouldn't sell nearly as many new copies of their games. You know, I mean, it's just the way of things at this point.
That's one thing where I'm kind of happy. Like, yeah, distribution can shove it up retail's ass because it's not that I don't believe in used games, but I don't believe in the price that they sell used games at.
That I agree with.
I think it's
retarded that you know they a $59.99 game for the 360. They get it used and they turn around and sell it for $5 less. Come on.
Yeah, and they give you $30 for it.
Yeah.
That's if it's a new game. That's like, yeah. That's yeah. like a brand new game. That's like if you just bought the game and brought it back 10 minutes later to trade it in.
More reason to pimp GameStack.
Yeah, no doubt. I was going to talk about them later, like in wrap up.
So, oh, okay.
I was going to say something. Oh, shit, I can't remember. Motherfucker.
I'm ready to wrap up, yo.
Yeah, I think his voicemail is a great wrap-up voicemail. I mean, there's a lot of things that it's not just the retailers that digital distribution has to overcome. It has to overcome the bandwidth limitations that some ISPs are trying to put in place. It has to overcome DRM. And there has to be a good DRM solution before it's going to work. And right now, I mean, do we really have one? You know?
No.
It's really hard to say. I mean, you know... Sure, you could say PSN has got the right idea with their whole 5 downloads thing, but at the same time, it's like...
5 console thing. Isn't it 5 console or 5 downloads?
It's 5... It's download to 5 different consoles.
Yeah.
So, and that's a really good solution for what we need right now. But at the same time, it's like, what happens when, you know, years down the road... So, you know, I mean, we are... a generation of gamers that grew up gaming. All right? We had the NES and all that other shit. So what happens when the people that are growing up with the shit that we have now, what kind of retro games are they going to be able to play in 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with digital distribution, that's a question that it's hard to answer. But if you have physical media, it's not. And that is probably one of the big reasons that's one of the big things that digital distribution has to overcome is,
well,
how to get over that, in
okay.
my opinion.
I'll say one thing, and I know Jason will wrap up, but why are retailers making this much of a deal about the PSP Go when they have no problem selling an iPhone?
There's service contracts.
They're what?
There are service contracts. The stores will make a shitload more because phones themselves are actually marked up a fuck ton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They'll make a lot of money on that stuff, especially if they're selling service plans or something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what if you,
and but especially you can, there's commission involved, too. So it's a completely different scenario.
Yeah, but I can go in and buy an iPhone at Best Buy, but then sign up for a service at like Rogers, which
somewhere.
Is a like, local thing.
You can just buy a phone just outright. I mean, but you're paying like $500 for it. At
the you're price. Paying a shitload of money. Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's why they can discount them so much when they do sell the service plans.
Right.
Because they have that all worked into the price. So it's like,
yeah, it makes sense.
The markup on an iPhone is, I mean, I would say
yeah,
like at least two or three times more than the markup on like the PSP Go.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So. Question answered.
There we go.
All right. Well, what do you think, Jason?
I don't think, like I said, the mom and pop shops are going to make much of a difference. You know, I didn't really want to get into like a digital download future kind of talk, but, you know, it's going to take an awfully big retailer to say no way before, you know, Sony actually starts kissing ass, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
I definitely agree with that. I definitely it would take a Walmart. I wouldn't even think that Best Buy could if Best Buy came through and said no, we're not going to carry it. I don't even think that would make it as much of a dent. But if Walmart said it, oh man, something would have to happen. I really think it would.
Indeed, yeah. I'm just not keen on this whole thing.
Yeah, I like my physical media. I want to keep it. I like the option of digital downloads.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I do too. As a consumer, I love digital downloads. Actually, you know, if they're kind of smaller, throwaway kind of stuff, like cheap stuff, I guess. But
yeah.
I don't want to pay full price for them at all. I mean, why should I? I mean, we talked about that a ton, but
right.
And you know, the DRM is just something that's scary as well. You know, what's going to happen, you know, if my console shits out. We hear horror stories all the time of being able to, or not being able to transfer, you know, games over to your new system and whatnot. So.
Yeah. And then we're going to have more situations where we have, other sites like Good Old Games popping up where they say DRM free PS3 games or something like that. And, you know, it's a hairy market. I don't want to see that happen.
So. Yeah. Got to work with the retailers.
Yeah.
They're still selling most of your shit. Okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. They're still your doorway to making money.
And if you're keeping your customers from going into their stores, that's going to piss off your retailers. So stop that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
All right.
Good deal.
Cool.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Let's do some new releases.
Yeah.
What you got, Jason? You have a repeat email for us?
I might. I don't know. He's not real happy with me right now.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Firstly, I want to say screw you to Jason for filing my ears with that cucumber packing banshee.
Nice.
On to the releases. And I'm going to start doing something back to what I originally planned to do for this. And since, you know, we're getting to the really busy season, I'm only going to talk about the games. They're sort of niche and interesting, and I'm going to get lost in the, you know, the meat grinder of this holiday season. So I'm not really going to talk about Uncharted 2 or Brutal Legend. Both games are probably going to be great, and I'm going to be getting both. But instead, I'm going to talk about the lesser-known games that are coming out this week. And the two that I'm looking at are Half Minute Hero for the PSP.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's an RPG you play in very, very short chunks, as the title suggests, 30 seconds. Although it's actually can be longer because you can refill your timer, but there's a timer that constantly counts down. 30 seconds is the max, you can never get into it. So yeah, you gotta really, you know, you gotta charge through whatever you're doing. But it's all short little missions, and you know, you play that over and over again doing various different things, and it should be really good. There's four different gameplay types, which all sort of vary things up, but they keep the constant 30-second countdown going. So yeah, And the other interesting title is Way of the Samurai 3. It's just coming out for the PS3 and 360. It came out in Japan about a year ago or so, so this might be a little bit dated, but it does look pretty neat. It's sort of a open world samurai game of sorts, I think. I don't know, I kind of looked at it a bit. It looked pretty interesting. It's sort of like this weird narrative thing where it's a lot of, it's meant to be fairly short, but you play through it multiple times to get all the endings and stuff. And I believe the earlier games in the series had a bit of a cult following, so it might be worth checking into. Although, going to be hard pressed to spend your money on it with what else is coming out this week.
There we go. Thank you, Repeat.
Thank ya.
Awesome.
So that's what he was pissed off about. I was like, what did we do?
Yeah.
Way to go,
Jason. I saw that post and I was like, what the hell is they talking about?
What did Jason do now?
I know. All right, so let's fill in the gaps. Let me get my list out. All right, so for the PS3, he mentioned the two big ones, I think, being Uncharted and Brutal Legend. Car Race-O-Rama, SingStar Motown, Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition, Where the Wild Things Are, Way of the Samurai 3. Oh, he mentioned that too, sorry. And Tapatoi? T-O-P-A-T-O-I. Tapatoi. No idea. I think that's one of the downloadable titles that's coming out next week, I think, though. Let's see what else we got for the PSP. Cars Race-O-Rama and Half Minute Hero. I'm really interested in Half Minute Hero.
Yes,
and more so after hearing him like talk about it. It really sounds like a really really cool idea. So
it was an indie game too.
Yeah, awesome, good deal. Let's see, for PS2, Cars Race-O-Rama. Xbox, Cars Race-O-Rama. Jeez, Squeeballs Party, Magna Carta 2. Yay.
No, not yay. What? This looks pretty. This looks okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Fine. It looks okay.
No.
The first one was
Chris,
ass.
Yes.
The first
yes,
one was
no
ass.
No denying that. But Chris, it kind of looks like a little Rogue Galaxy combat. Intrigued now?
No, because the first one was ass. Do you know why? Because the first one didn't let you control. It didn't have AI for the other two characters.
They can actually change in the sequel.
You can change it on the fly, and there's combo attacks and shit. You can change to them on the fly. To actually complete your combo attacks.
All right, we'll see.
I'm telling you.
I will give it a shot. Well, I'm not going to play it, but I'll pay attention and see what they do with it. But
oh,
the first one was just ass. I'm sorry. The first one was just too bad.
So I heard.
All right. So Where the Wild Things Are, Way of the Samurai 3, Brutal Legend, Fallout Game of the Year, and Darwinia Plus.
Cool.
Oh, and Tropico 3. It's coming out next week.
I like that Darwinia.
Darwinia plus what?
Face.
Plus 5.
Well, was there a first Darwinia?
I don't know. It's an Xbox Live Arcade title, I believe.
My question still stands.
Yeah, that was another title way back on the PC.
Okay.
I don't know.
Moving on.
Cars Race-O-Rama for the Wii. The Grudge? Really? They're making a Grudge game?
Spooky.
Man. Valhalla Knights, Elder Saga, World of the Wild Things Are, Sudoku Ball Detective, Medieval Games, Squeeballs Party, and Drawn to Life, the next chapter.
Dun, dun, dun.
Drawn to Life was pretty interesting. So, let's see, for the DS, Cars Race-O-Rama, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Explorers of the Sky, Where the Wild Things Are, I don't know what that is. It looks like Leviathan, but it's not Leviathan.
It's not Leviathan?
No, it's like Leviathan Tactics.
Leviathan?
I don't know. Cake Mania 3, Sushi Academy, and Might and Magic Clash of Heroes. I'm actually going to look this one up right now. Not Might and Magic, the Leviathan Tactics, because I'm interested in it. So,
no, should we wait or something? Or
No. We'll keep going. I'll look it up while you're doing emails.
Okay.
So, Jason, have any good poos today?
Yeah.
I did.
Nice. Good stuff.
It was pretty nice.
Cool.
Good shape to it.
Good showing. Jesus. Nice.
Yeah, not bad. It was real quick, and it's like I had bran or something.
Fuck. Can I finish? Is poo
totally
our feature? I mean, what the hell?
No, well, dude, I didn't know what else to stall with.
Yeah.
Why are you stalling? I didn't say to stall.
See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
All right, for PC, Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition, Nancy Drew, Warnings at Waverly Academy, Cabela Outdoor Adventures, Mechanarium.
The indoor Cabela's.
What?
Nothing. Does Cabela actually have any indoor adventures?
I don't know, but they all say Cabela's outdoor adventures, every single one of them. So
yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Know.
The indoor is like you're hunting mice. Right.
you're shooting cats. The heads of the animals that you shot outdoors that are mounted on your wall. There you go.
There you go.
Mechanarium and Tropico 3. And that is your new release list. What do we got for pick of the week?
I don't know. This could be one of our hardest of the year so far, I think.
This whole month, dude, is just shitty.
Like a, God.
This is an expensive month.
For buying, yeah, extremely expensive. I don't even know if I'm going to... Well, I'm getting Demon's Souls tomorrow, but I'm getting that cheap, so...
I didn't even go with Demon's Souls last week, and I ended up getting it.
My pick is Brutal Legend, because I think I'd get more immediate gratification out of that.
Just to be different.
I still want the Uncharted 2... I'm just. I think
he's
I
more skeptical
more.
About it because he wasn't such a fan of the first one.
I thought it was a great game. I just don't think it was very long. I don't think it was worth the $60. But
yeah, fair enough.
Yep. If I can beat it in a handful of hours.
That being said, this
and,
was
and
almost...
never had any incentive to play it again. Whatever.
Well, that being said, I'm going with Uncharted 2. Only because I can't ignore those reviews. I can't, and I am also picking up Brutal Legend, but Uncharted 2 looks like it could be a masterpiece. Could be.
Yeah.
I think you might be right.
I agree wholeheartedly. I'm going with Uncharted 2 as well. If I had to choose one of them, that would be the one I would choose. But I am getting both, so I'm glad I don't have to choose one. All right, so Levitian Tactics. Hero Saga Levitian Tactics. It looks like it's
who?
Yeah, oh, no, it's ahead, a sorry. It's a strategy tactical strategy RPG. It looks like from.
Does it say who does it?
From Axis, I think.
Okay.
Whatever.
Not my pick of the week.
No, nope.
I was going to say
definitely
change
not my
anywhere,
pick of the week.
Maybe?
No, no, doesn't change anything.
Nope.
All right, cool. Let's move on to some emails.
We got one email.
All right.
We have one email, and I don't even know if I should read this.
Uh-oh.
But
why is that?
But just because we only got one email, I'll read it. It's
okay.
From Sockfist. He says, "Want to get rich? The dude that sent this to me has already earned over $400 just doing this. Here's
what?
How it works. Sockfist is
a
big farting
chain
nerd. He did. That's always drunk and he can't get any chicks, but his dad is rich as fuck. You will receive $100 for every person you forward this to from Sockfist's dad. His email is already on the CC box, so just enter all your names, hit forward, and collect your easy money."
Oh, jeez.
In 2004, wow. Jimmy Bryant refused to forward his email. The next morning, he discovered that his penis had changed into a vagina. In 2005, Pope John Paul II forgot to forward this email to all his cardinal buddies. He mispronounced Australopithecus when addressing a bunch of fucking atheists. He looked like an idiot.
Oh, that's crazy.
In 2008, Todd Jennings just deleted this email and forgot about it. The next morning, a bear showed up at his door and raped him. While whistling Wishing Well by Terrence Trent D'Arby. Don't let these things happen to you. Forward this email to everyone you know and get rich instead. Do it. Sockfist has to get laid.
Oh my god.
Got raped by a bear.
Dude, that's fucking hilarious.
That is hilarious. So, yeah, that's an exception to the chain letter rule.
Thanks, Sock. That was...
We'll let that one go.
That was
fair
good.
Enough. That was good.
That was good.
Raped by
a
bear.
Oh, man.
How much would that suck?
While, you know, whistling Wishing Well by Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Oh, that's a really fucked up mental image. All
right,
we need to go.
I wonder if I pronounce it right.
On.
Australopithecus. I think I got that.
Yeah, let's go with it.
That sounds good, man. I'm glad you were reading it because I sure as hell would have messed that up.
Cool.
Yeah, God knows what I would have done with it.
All right, so we do have another voicemail. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to tolerate this one, though. Let's see.
Okay, Indus crew, this is David Crash Fist Fight Tilly, and unlike my normal voicemails, I am not going to answer your question of the week, because I feel it is dumb. Anyway, I'm going on because I am upset with Jason and his ability to comic book. like with Batman, I'm just going to get straight into it. With Batman, Chris, I can understand you not liking the end bosses because as a gamer, they were somewhat lame.
Oh, I'm not a gamer.
As a Batman fan, they were awesome. It's because, you know, unlike Jason, I actually know Batman.
Okay.
Oh, snap.
Fuck you.
Are you pausing that?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Moving on.
Gloves off.
If he actually did know Batman, he would realize that he...
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Actually fights most of his villains because most of them are not fighters. Bane is a fighter. He actually fights Bane, but usually just rips out the cords. That's how it always happens. Batman has no chance against Killer Croc. That's why he devises plans to, you know, put him in a hole.
Mostly. True.
With someone like Poison Ivy.
Wait. He's tussled with Killer Croc several times, actually. So, and granted, yeah, he gets his fucking ass kicked, but at least he tries.
I was actually disappointed that he did fight her, because normally all he would do was get a super herbicide, put it into the sprinkler system, turn the sprinklers on, and kill every single plant in the building.
He didn't have enough for that.
He does it many times. That's what he does.
Oh, fucking A.
Also, on the Joker...
Hey, wait, pause.
Yeah, like, can I fucking pause? David, it's a fucking video game, and we need to play it still.
Even besides
that... Hold on.
No, ahead. Even besides... Hold on, stop. My turn. All right. All the plans were beefed up on that Titan juice bullshit. It's like, oh, wow, does he know if anything's going to work?
He can try it.
Oh, he did, and they cut that scene out. So there. All right.
Actually, he tried to, and Ivy swatted him away.
The ODST version of Batman Arkham Asylum is going to be released in 2 months.
Oh, no boss fights and all repetitive combat? Okay.
Yep, but for real, it's still a game, and we still have to play it and still have to... It's not a graphic novel, okay? It's not a point-and-click adventure. There's still gameplay involved. And I'm sorry, the Croc fight was absolute bullshit. I mean, granted, just even going by your theory, if he had to devise some sort of way to trap Killer Croc as opposed to, you know, physically challenging him, why couldn't they make the gameplay a little bit more engaging rather than the same repetitive bullshit?
Like maybe even
have
him throw you around
every
a bit,
fucking
then he runs
time.
At you and you trip him or something. He falls in
no.
the water.
Or maybe we actually have to devise a plan rather than.
Oh,
there
that
being...
sounds fun! Oh, Batman devise a plan game. That's gonna be awesome.
Why? So solving puzzles in games isn't fun,
no,
Jeff?
Solving puzzles is, but devising a plan.
What's the difference? It's a puzzle.
It depends on how they present it. I'm sticking with how they presented it in the game. Like, he's running after you, whatever, and you throw the battering. Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
But had more fucking quick time events that are more engaging than that fucking boss fight.
Dude, okay. My point is that it's like you didn't devise any plan. You didn't solve any puzzle. It's
no,
like
he walks up.
No, he does well, it during the cutscene. He walks up and pours and puts the explosive gel on the floor and runs off. It's like, couldn't I have done that? I mean, would have been a little bit more satisfying.
My point is that they had so much build up for the Croc fight and it just completely fell flat.
Yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate in that. The Croc fight sucked ass.
Yeah.
Fuck your devil's advocate, Jeff.
All right. So don't get all fucking comic book
Batman
nerd on me, Tilly. All right, let's move on.
Have to understand that the Joker does not want to kill Batman. That is not Joker's purpose in the comic books. Joker wants Batman to kill him. He wants to prove that anyone can fall down to his level, because in all of his creation stories, that's what happened to him. He fell and he became, you know, his homicidal self. He wants to prove and make Batman, one of the most noble characters, do what he did. That's why when he killed Robin, he actually killed his mom in front of him by beating her with a pipe, then beat Robin with a pipe, then blew him up in a factory.
Because he had to do both?
Because that was so over the top, he expected Batman to come after him and kill him. But Batman didn't, because that's not what Batman does.
Batman should have given him a high five.
On to Ultimate Alliance 2. For fuck's sake, splitting the Marvel characters is what happened in Civil War.
God damn it, I fucking know that. And what I said was that it hurt the fucking gameplay. Jesus Christ,
no,
David.
No, you did... Oh, okay, yeah, it's actually... Yeah, okay, yeah, you did say that.
Oh, fuck.
But hold on. It's splitting it up to make you make the decisions that you would have had to make. Like, reading the comic book, you're like, oh, that sucks that these guys are split
up. And it was
whatever.
So fucking trivial, because I played it afterwards and found out that, you know what, you're doing the same fucking missions, and all they're doing is a little bit of dialogue and palette swap. It's bullshit. It's the same fucking game any way that you play it. I sold it. I'm done with it.
Yeah, I brought it back to Blockbuster. Because it was due three days before it dropped out.
I'm only getting this riled up at David because we're actually close friends. He showed up at my wedding. I wouldn't do this to any normal person. But unless they accuse me of not being a Batman fan, because... All right.
Then it'll be on.
Then it's on. All right, the rest of David's stuff.
Or, if you're allowed to play Captain America and Iron Man on the same team, guess what happens? Story equals fucked. Also, later in the game anyway, you get to play as all the characters again.
I know.
About four missions of assembling some characters, four missions of being separated, and then another four or so missions of actually being together again.
Right. Okay. All right. So, yeah, you do get some of your characters, but you don't get them all the time. You know, for example, you know, you build up one character, and yeah, your group's all there and stuff, but then, like, a mission later, you can't play him again for some odd reason. And then, you know, the next mission, you've got to, you know, change up your roster again, and it's fucking stupid. Moving on.
You're stupid.
That's pretty much how comic books work.
It's a fucking video game, David.
But it's a fucking comic book.
If you take away that whole story scenario in Ultimate Alliance 2, it's just a retarded game where you just go around and punch things. You might as well play Ultimate Alliance 1 again.
Which you enjoyed the shit out of, motherfucker. Oh my god.
I'm also going to bitch about Street Fighter 4 Super Street Fighter.
I'm gonna put my headset down now.
Until Turbo Street Fighter 4 Champions Edition 2. I mean, Turbo Super Street Fighter 4 Champions Edition 2.
He's just doing this to get a rise out of it. You know this, right?
Yes.
From what I hear on sites such as...
don't fucking quote sites. You're still talking out of your ass.
They're speculating that Street Fighter 4 will also be built on a new engine different to that of Street Fighter 4. From what we've seen from leaked screenshots, though, it looks pretty much the same to us. They also mentioned that the, I guess, Air Combo Ultra is going to be in, which is kind of nice, but I don't see why you can't just download those. On top of, you know, the classic bonus stages. So apparently, I'm supposed to pay $40 to kick barrels and cars again.
Yes, yay. That's all that's in the fucking game.
I guess that's what some people are into. Anyway, just feel that Capcom sees that the emergence of fighters has come back, and they just want to capitalize on it. So... I think they're just in it to make money. Granted, that's what all video companies are, you know, doing. They want to make money. But it's one thing to make money, and it's another thing to shamelessly make money like that or something. Anyway, I'll let you guys get back to your show.
Okay. Oh, thanks.
Enjoy. Peace out, dogs.
Before Jason says anything, I'm going to say this. We don't know what Capcom's going to price Super Street Fighter 4 at. We have no idea. But if they do price it at $60...
then it's milking.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Jason, as you were.
What? He's just goading me, is what he's doing. And I don't think I'm going to give him the satisfaction anymore.
That's awesome. Take that, David!
You want to so bad, though. I can feel you. I can feel your, like, rage.
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. I do. But, you know, it dawned on me that he's doing this purposely.
Can I ask a question, though?
Yeah.
Took you 98 episodes? Didn't he have a voicemail once called, like, Jason Sucks?
I think he's had a few of those, actually.
He's just getting too personal now.
What does
well, if you like Batman more, Jason, you would probably be able to relate to him.
And fuck you too, Chad.
I'm trying to...
I'm taking back that Batman tattoo that I created.
That you got.
Ripping it from his
flesh.
Yes.
All right, so if what does the Joker not wanting to kill Batman have to do with the boss battle?
Because you don't actually... Because Joker never really fights you. He gets the henchmen to fight you.
Well, no, he does. He swings around a few times here and there.
Yeah, and so. Then you pull him
down. Aimlessly, then that has almost no chance of hitting you. But just because he fights you doesn't mean he has to kill you.
Yeah. It seemed, I don't know, it just seemed like there wasn't a lot of effort put into, you know, the planning of the boss battles in Batman.
I would agree.
That's all that we're saying. I was just underwhelmed. I'm not getting into the psychology of it all. You know, I'm not going to get drilled that deep down because ultimately this is, you know, still a game and it still has to play well.
And you might commit homicide. We understand. Mm-hmm.
Can we get onto a lighter subject now? Let's get on to happier stuff. Do we have anything else?
I'm still fucking fuming, man. I don't know if I can go forward. Can we record the rest later or something?
Dude, we're almost done. Let's go.
All right. One last email.
Yeah, we should probably hit one more because that was long.
Yeah.
And very entertaining.
And now it's time for another edition of...
Random questions from Aces High.
I want to know if you've ever pulled like an actually funny prank on someone, or if someone has ever pulled a prank on you.
David's getting one.
Oh, dude.
I want to know if there's a food that you like that you find that most people don't, or most of your friends don't. And have you ever broken a bone?
Nice. Right. I have good answers for all these.
Yay. Cool. All right, so pranks, Jeff.
Pranks, yeah. I used to pull pranks all the time when a colleague of mine, he actually since moved to BC, British Columbia, so they don't happen too often, but we'd always do weird... One of my favorites was the whole put a hand lotion on the receiver of the phone and then call him. So then he picks up the phone and he's got that crap all over his ear. But...
Not bad.
That's a pretty decent one. One really good one, it's... Probably won't be that exciting with the same kind of guy, the same dude. We tried to fake a fake phone call where a client was calling in and really ripping into him, saying like, "His bullshit is all crap, whatever, blah blah. Guy fucked up my mortgage, did all this crap, all this stuff, whatever."
Okay.
We got like a friend to do that and call in and to call into the manager, but the manager was in on it, so we had him call. We had him first call into the guy who was my colleague. And give him a whole bunch of shit. Be like, "I need to talk to your manager right now. This is fucking bullshit." So he transfers the call to the manager. The manager's acting all like, "What the fuck's going on? What the hell did you do?" kind of thing. And it looked like he was going to cry. Like, and then we all lost it. And we started laughing. And he kind of got he got it after that. But one was on me, which hopefully my audio doesn't cut out. If it does, let me know. I'll speak slower. We did the whole phone thing with the hand cream. So one day, I sit down on my desk, and my phone rings, and I answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit there, and I look around, and I'm like, "Who the hell is eating garlic? Something reeks of garlic." and it was an actual phone call I actually got, so I thought nothing of it. So I put down the phone, and I'm like, "Okay, this is retarded. All I smell is garlic. This is fucking disgusting." And then, like, for half the day, and no one... cracked a smirk even, and then finally I picked up my phone after a while and I saw there was a smear. Oh, you can't hear me now.
Oh.
The uh-huh gave it away. But there was a smear of garlic all over my phone. Those fuckers.
Ugh. That's kind of gross.
That is pretty damn gross.
Yeah.
Alright, Jason, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go real quick.
All right.
There's lots of shit that we've done. The one that really stands out first and foremost, though, this is probably the one that I feel the worst about. And I used to work, this is probably when I was like 18 or something like that. I worked at a gas station, right? And for whatever reason, somebody left a Polaroid picture out on one of the pumps of this chick. And she was naked. And she was hot. Very
nice.
Hot. Right? So that's kind of odd, you know, so I brought it back and I'm like, you know, this, we got to do something with this.
So the guy that I was working with and my girlfriend at the time devised this plan to send this picture to a friend of ours who was, you know, kind of down on his luck with the ladies, you know. So we had my girlfriend
this
sign.
This is already mean.
Yeah, signed this picture and wrote a letter to him, you know, basically just saying, you know, I've seen you. He worked at a theater. She's like, I've seen you at the movie theater. I've seen, you know, some of the shirts that you wear, and I'm really into horror movies too. And, you know, it went on for a little while just saying, you know, let's meet, let's do this, let's do that. I'm really into you. Yeah, it fucking was. And, yeah, I left him a phone number, and, yeah, he ended up calling that number, and, yeah, there was laughter at the other end. Justin,
that is fucking mean.
I know.
That
is fucking terrible.
Dude, that's close to, that is... Oh.
I've changed my ways. I did, seriously. No. That's that kind of shit that made me...
We had a friend that was so, like, needed to get laid, so bitter at life. We came close to hiring, like, a hooker or, like, an escort to pretend to randomly meet us at a bar and hit on him like crazy, and we'd pay for it. But then we're too afraid of he'd get too attached. And then eventually it would get to the point where it's like, dude... You totally slept with a whore.
And you would just tease him about it. Like,
yeah.
I know. I was one of those guys.
That was horrible. That would be horrible.
Yeah. Justin, once again, I'm sorry. He stopped talking to me for like a couple of years. I don't blame him. I really don't blame him.
Can you laugh at it now? Although he's got to be able to laugh at it now.
No, still a sensitive subject.
Wow.
For real. Like, you just don't bring that up. So I didn't think that he'd get that attached off, you know, because it's ridiculous, right? It's this, like, naked lady, right, sending Polaroids. That's kind of creepy, okay?
No, yeah. Fucking for
just
want to
be
bit.
Afraid of women like this. But, no, he like, fell head over heels. Cause
dude,
apparently,
it's like people who go to strip clubs who aren't really into the, like, don't get too many women, and the second the stripper hits on them, oh, my
yeah,
God,
yeah,
I'm in
yeah.
love.
Yeah,
that is their
like
job.
Anywho, so yeah. that's
mine weird. Aren't quite that evil.
Oh,
okay. What about prank done to you? Let's do both.
I can't think of any.
Really?
You're yeah. boring. No, I'm serious. Like, I've had people try, I guess, but now I'm just asking for it. Shit.
True.
Oh,
in this fest.
I'm thinking,
no,
that's
exactly.
all I'm gonna say. That's what I'm thinking right now, live.
No.
Chris, we gotta
no.
do some talking.
Jeff, we're plotting.
No, no, no.
That's all
no,
about.
That's neutral ground because my heart will not be able to take
no,
it.
I know
I'm
that.
Be
that's true.
Out as is.
Maybe Friday night instead.
I will
there you
kill
go.
Someone.
There you go. All right. So, pranks that I've done. The only one that really comes to mind is this is. It's gonna sound really immature because I was like
dude,
13.
Pranks. Yeah,
because I was 13 and it was really immature. All right, so we were at my friend's birthday party and we had the birthday party at another friend's house. Well, the person who was hosting thought it would be funny to buy a birthday present for the birthday boy that was a Playgirl magazine.
Hey.
So, and then you know, laughter ensued and ha ha, old Playgirl. Well, the host was also the first one to fall asleep. So he fell asleep in a recliner chair. So we positioned him in such a way.
You were 13?
Yes. Positioned him in such a way where he was holding the magazine in one hand and strategically placed his hand in the other and nice. and then took pictures.
Nice.
Nice.
So. That's pretty funny.
That's something I'd do today. What are you talking
dude,
about?
Dude, like, I have not passed out in recliner till, like, 21 when I was hammered, like, it's a good move.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, Jeff, because prank done to me happens to be me being drunk and passing out on a couch while we were on a ski trip with some people from work.
I can see you getting pissed.
And Jason knows this story, man. So I fell asleep on the couch and I woke up to the sound of saran wrap being unwrapped near me. Luckily, I caught them before they decided to saran wrap me to the couch. However,
that would
really
suck, dude.
Yes, it would. However, I was not lucky enough to wake up before they marked me up with magic marker all over my face and my legs and my arms.
Oh, dude. We marked up somebody at, like, this is only, like, a few years ago at my, like, old place. I lived with a few guys, and we had, like, this huge party because one of the guys was leaving. And this guy passed out really early, like 11. So we drew all over his face and his, yeah, like, hands, whatever. And he didn't notice for the first 2 hours he woke up.
Wow.
Yeah, we're out, like, eating breakfast like that. Then he went to the washroom and lost it. Like, like, livid, like, throwing shit. And I was just like, oh my God, dude, it's, you can wipe it off. Like, I can't be fucking bullshit, motherfucker. I can't believe this fucking shit.
I noticed right away because they actually marked on my nose, and I could actually see it.
Oh, my nose. That's the thing. Marked. You can't go to the nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I wish that forehead, lips. Chin.
Fuck you, Jason. What the hell, man?
All right, so the marking of the face, that reminds me of a story, too. So, yeah, my buddy Ira, he had passed out at a party, and, you know, we rode all over him. You know, I like little boys, ha ha ha. this girl that he was like, avoiding, but she was really into him. We got her to like, you know, put her boob on his face, and we took pictures and stuff.
Oh, my
but
God,
the,
but awesome.
Then later on, my buddy Jay was like, because Ira was just, like, passed out. He was just, like,
oh,
you know,
please
head completely
tell me
tilted
Jay
back.
Didn't do this.
I know what you're mouth say. Wide open, but no, it's not a normal Jay thing. Jay kept putting pieces of bread in, you know, Ira's open mouth. You know, we're like, whatever. until Ira started choking.
Oh, fuck!
And we all just, like, everything got dead serious then, and everybody digging
who,
in Ira's
who knows
mouth
the
trying
leg?
To get
who
the bread.
The
yeah. Ira never woke up the entire time, luckily. So.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the other instance is we used to put tater tots in Bob's butt. when he used to pass out, he'd pass out face down, but his butt was, like, up in the air. Like, he'd be on his knees, and his pants would always, like, be halfway down, so he'd have this, like, massive ass crack that, I don't know. That was just what we did, so we put tater tots in there.
So it's like, Bob's passed out, tater tots, no, get him on now, stat!
That's just what you did, Bob. So, and yeah, he'd get mad every fucking time. But it was funny to us.
That's so. Awesome. I can go on for hours about pranks. But
I know. We can make a feature out of this.
We should probably get the second question of the question of the week.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, I gotta tell the one story. I have to. it's New Year's 2007. So this isn't that long ago. And this one dude passed out at like 11:30, quarter to 12. So, midnight hits, everyone's going crazy, like, yeah, happy new year, blah, 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 blah. Two of my buddies decide to, hey, he's passed out on the couch, let's put our balls on his face.
That's what I thought you were going to say Jay did. I thought you were going to say that Jay slapped his penis on Ira's face. I was like, oh shit, because I could totally see Jay doing that.
Jay has done that before.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Not that night. Not that night.
I'm sorry, so, Jeff. Continue.
There is a picture of one of my buddies with his balls right on the bridge of his nose. So there's one ball on the left side, one on the right. And like 2 weeks later, the dude who was passed out saw this picture and again flipped. Actually, threatened legal action to the point where we're like, dude, he's been your friend for 15 years. You pass
legal
out
action.
At 11:30 on New Year's Eve.
Like, something's gonna happen.
Exactly.
To him, right? Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's messed up. And with that, I think we need to. Next question.
All right, next question. So, any foods that you like that other people may not necessarily
definitely,
like?
Yeah. Liver and onions.
Liver and onions?
Yep.
That's fucking disgusting.
That is disgusting.
I like liver and sautéed onions and mushrooms. Good shit.
Nasty. I'm a big fan of peanut butter, and my buddy Jack Bauer doesn't.
Yeah, well, he's odd.
Yeah.
He probably likes crumpets and tea.
I can't really think of it. The only thing
peanut
that
butter
I can think
on crumpets
of is,
are awesome. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
I'm going to say scrambled eggs and ketchup.
Dude, I love scrambled eggs.
I know. Other people like it. So it's
you
like,
should
I
mean, have said like peanut butter and pancakes.
Dude, peanut butter. Okay, fine. Peanut butter and pancakes.
I know, but
even
I've
though
never
this
heard
entire
of that until
podcast likes that.
Now we do. The first time you told me, I was like,
"That's
fucked
true."
Up.
That's true. Peanut butter and pancakes. Then there you go.
And waffles. Anyway, question number three: have you ever broken a bone?
Once.
Yes.
And the day I broke that bone was the day I said, "Don't worry, Dad, I've never broken a bone in my body." And then I went snowboarding for the first time ever and broke my wrist.
That'll do it.
Welcome
on
to
the
karma.
First hill.
On the first hill.
Going down to the chairlift.
Nope. I have never, ever, ever broken a bone. Knock on wood.
Yeah, seriously, knock on wood, because last time I said that. Snap.
I've come real close, but no.
When I was 10, I got hit in the nose with a baseball bat.
That's cartilage. That's not a
no. It broke the bone of the skull underneath.
How did that happen? Oh, I need to know how that happened, Chris. I'm sorry. Were you a cat? If you weren't a catcher, you could have a mask.
No, actually, we were walking down to the field, and dude thought it was a good idea to swing the fucking bat while I was there. And it,
like,
luckily,
there,
it
the,
wasn't
like,
at the climax
of
his swing. It was on the backswing, and the the edge of the. The tip of the bat hit me square in the nose and actually chipped like the skull where the nose is and
good God
yeah, it hurt pretty bad.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've also broken a finger, but that doesn't really count in my book. So
yeah, did it smidge it.
All right,
guys.
Thank you, Aces, for your random questions.
Yeah,
I love getting that shit, man.
That's fun.
All right, so what else we have? Oh, we got
to get to know about us then.
What's that?
They get to know about us then.
That's right. That's right. I think our listeners found out a lot more about us than they wanted to this episode.
Sorry.
All right. We got to give something away, don't we? Oh, wait. Are there any any other emails or voicemails?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Let's give something away.
Yeah.
Longest Journey is our good old game for this week from goodoldgames.com, GOG.com. So I am at random.org and I'm generating my random number, and it is the number 11.
Yeah, 11.
11 is
11.
David Barber.
11. David Barber.
David Barber is the winner of The Longest Journey.
Oh, come here, buddy.
Oh, God. God. Hey, repeat, it's going to be a long ass
month. Believe what I say. It is going to be the longest month for Journey haters, like repeats. Apparently, Journey makes his ears
play more in excess.
Yeah, anyway, congratulations. You just won The Longest Journey, courtesy of Good Old Games, GOG.com. Also,
enjoy
courtesy
it.
Of Journey. What do you say? A cucumber sucking banshee?
No, something cucumber like stuffing banshee.
Stuffing banshee. But whatever do you mean?
It's a banshee who stuffs cucumbers, dude.
Oh, okay. Sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it puts
like
some cheese.
Stuffed zucchini.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, like stuffed peppers.
I had a stuffed pita today with chicken and broccoli and cheese. It was pretty good.
Tasty.
Did it have cucumbers?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it would have been good with cucumbers. I would have liked that.
Chris, I don't think Chris is getting
it. No, I got it a long time ago. I'm joking.
Okay.
All right, so question of the week.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Then we can get the hell out of here. So question of the week next week. Well, we've been talking a lot about... We talked a lot about Demon Souls today. And Demon Souls
did.
Demon Souls is rough, man. It's a tough game. But does challenge drive gamers as much now as it did in the past?
I don't know.
Does cause it? For some thinkings.
Maybe. Because that got me thinking. Because I was actually on gamentalk.com. That's like gamentalk.com. And they had an article up there with Nintendo, how they have, with a lot of their games releasing, they have basically like an I win button. You can be playing like New Super Mario Brothers, and they'd be like, you know what? This level's too hard. Set it to like auto and basically plays the level for you, and kind of gives you no incentive to play the game or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, like, I got involved in the conversation. I'm like, you know what? That would make a good question of the week thing, because that's something we haven't talked about. So
Little Thief.
Little Thief, but Game and Talk, they're bringing up some good topics and stuff like that. You should check them out, and hopefully they're cool with us taking the kind of idea. It's not direct stealing, because it's not exactly what they were talking about. It's what the conversation led to. But
there you go. That's fine. I've done that a couple times with forum conversations where I just was like, hey, that would make a good topic. So, yeah. All right. Well,
I wish to elaborate on that.
Because we talked about Demon's Souls today for a bunch, and we're all getting our ass kicked by it, but we can't put it down. But other games will be like, fuck that shit. Where's our 30 lives? And our unlimited continues, or checkpoints, or save anywhere. So that kind of makes sense.
So, to repeat the question, does challenge drive gamers as much now as it did in the past? You can answer the question a week by sending us an email. That email address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail. There's a new number. That number is 706-760-4337. It's almost leet, but it's not. 4337. Sorry, I had to do it. The old number is still there, so if you still want to
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's gone.
We're gonna wait until it expires. So it's still there if you guys want to call that number.
Right now, what do you know?
You can also get us on Skype directly.
Oh,
which
look,
is,
it's gone.
Just Interactive Distractions, all one word.
This is the last time I'm gonna do this. All lowercase.
Seriously? You want to get rid of the Skype voicemail too?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to get rid of, is the Skype voicemail.
All right. I thought you just wanted to get rid of the phone number.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Wow. There goes half our listeners. Fucking Jason.
What are we going to do at Indus Fest, man? People are going to expect that.
Our listeners are down at 4.
That's right. You can also get us on Google Talk, which the phone number is a part of, and that's interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Chris, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-O-F.
And our main podcast is Indus Podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook, which is Indus Podcast. Or, I'm sorry, Interactive Distractions Podcast. My bad. So that's it. Do we have anything else before we wrap up?
I have something.
Go for it. Shoot. I have something too, actually.
GameStack.com.
STAQ.
What's up with
that? STAQ.
This is not even a paid advertisement. GameStaq.com. So they're a buy and sell.
So we're not getting paid
online
for this.
Shop. No, no. But I got paid from them because I've actually sold them a couple games, and they pay top dollar and turn around and sell it for pretty much the same price. And
really?
They just make a couple dollar cut here and there.
Really?
So you mentioned before that you're looking to sell the game. Go ahead and check it out on their site. Like I just sold Ultimate Alliance for $41.
Wait, you bought Ultimate Alliance?
Yeah, I bought Ultimate Alliance, too.
Okay.
He was really excited about Ultimate Alliance, man.
Yeah.
He was stoked
for it.
Oh,
he liked
it.
The first week, he was like, it's awesome. You played, like, what? You have to kind of zooms out a bit too far, but it's really fun.
Yeah, because I had only played the multiplayer, and, you know, anyway, long story short, yeah, I sold...
you don't have to justify
it. I sold Killzone to them. Got $40 from that.
Wow,
Killzone
nice.
2, and,
oh, you sold Killzone
Ultimate
2?
Alliance 2. Yeah. I played it a half hour, man.
You didn't even play through the campaign?
No.
I still haven't either. I'm on like chapter 8 or 9 or something like that.
Oh my god! Okay, you
Am
know
I
what?
Really
people VG or whatever, and you call me the MS fanboy. These guys haven't even played Killzone 2 all the way through. Such a game.
I've played the same amount of Halo.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just saying. No.
This is just an FPS thing.
Yeah. No. I know.
Hey, man. I will defend you. If anybody does call you next spot and they like mean it in a malicious way, I will punch them in the face because I know that you're really not. But you like playing it up.
I know. It's funny. That's why I'm doing this now. Because you guys should play the
first
shooters.
Case.
Like every once in a while.
I played
Call of Duty 4.
Hey, dude, I'm fine with them on PCs, actually. I just, the keyboard mouse thing is more my thing.
I'm a mouse and keyboard guy.
Fuck off, Xbox.
I can attest to that. I've played Left 4 Dead and Killing Floor with Jason.
Yeah.
He does the PC thing. That's the way it works.
Yeah, that's cool. Whatever.
Sorry, man.
Cool. Anything? Yeah, right. So GameStack, GameStaq.com.
We like these guys.
Yeah, we do.
So they're online. You can sell it online to them?
Yeah, you sell it online and you ship it to them. And,
Do you ship it?
Or
I don't know if Canada can.
I'm going to check that out tomorrow because that's fucking pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now,
they pay a lot of money for
it. Do they send you something to ship it or do you ship it yourself?
You ship it yourself, okay. So you're going to have to get like a padded envelope or whatever. So, but that's
like what?
Cheap.
Like,
yeah, shipping is free though. They actually give you a return like an RMA.
Oh, that's cool. Kind of label. So you just have to buy the padded envelope and that's it.
Yep,
that's
slap
like
the label on there, and
yeah, all right,
ship it off.
That's pretty cool, man.
And they take like a dollar or two off of the transaction. That's their transaction fee, But what's a couple bucks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Still
that's
a lot more
we'll
than
do,
you're
considering community. how much did you get for Ultimate Alliance? 41.
Yeah, 41, but 39 after their fee.
Okay, 31 after their fee. You go to GameStop.
39.
Yeah. I guarantee you'll get like $25.
$25. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then they'll turn around and sell it for 54, whereas GameStack will turn around and sell it for like 42 or 43.
41, actually. Price that they... Yeah.
Because they make
They shave it off the seller, not the buyer. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
I think so.
Cool.
That's,
I haven't bought anything
that's
there yet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
But they're brand new. Brand new. So.
It's actually like... It's still in beta. So you can follow them on Twitter, which I think is the same name, GameStack with a Q. Every once in a while they'll throw up the little beta password, which last time I think it was.
Oh, they're done with that actually.
Oh, really? Cool. Okay.
Yep.
Good deal.
They're done with that.
Yeah, go check them out.
I think I was their first customer. I gotta say.
It's probably realistic if they just started.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Huh. Cool. All right. Anything else?
Just want to say really quickly, as a last minute stand in, I was on, 360 Nation podcast this week.
Hey, nice.
I think they were on episode number 37. You can hit them up at vgevo.com or 360nationpodcast.com. We just taught gaming, 360 stuff. It was me and Philip J. Fry, a.k.a. Josh, one of the hosts. The other two hosts couldn't make it. So you should check that out. We talked about the Halos again and a bunch of other stuff. So
cool.
It's good times. You should download that stuff.
Sounds good, man.
Go get that shit.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get out of here then.
And it's best.
2 weeks to
Indisfest. Oh, my God.
We have now officially one more show to do.
That's right. That's the thing.
We have one more show between now and Indisfest. That's crazy.
I think I might cry.
All right, well, we hope you guys enjoyed the show and all the practical joke conversation that we had earlier.
Sorry about that.
If you did enjoy the show, please tell a few friends about us.
Jerk.
And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. So until next week. My name is Chris.
My name is Jason.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye.
Doo doo doo.